that and the clean cuts, and I think then that may be what is called when good governance is really pick up. Of course, I don't know what is the problem in SAFA. I think SAFA is just very popular at the moment, but I think it will take us through. The other issue, because we are eating a national popular sport, and then football or soccer is the most popular sport now, I'm told, in the world. And therefore, we always appreciate a discussion around the real transformation of sport in terms of sport as a sport. Another issue that we always try to address would be the question of development of sport. West Alpha, generally speaking, in terms of the development of sport throughout our country. Where are you? What are you doing? What are your assisting structures? What is happening generally throughout the areas of sport development? We thought that is very important for you also to take us through on that. Of course, another issue would be then the legacy project. And the trust fund, the legacy projects, those areas really that we should be addressing. We hope that all of us are going to be very frank, open, and have a very friendful discussion on issues that are relevant for development and transformation of our sport, and also the matters of good governance in our sport. We think that it's very important for us to have a very open discussion with the portfolio committee on sport and recreation. And then honorable members will raise themselves questions, and then we'll then be able then to address whatever issues as well as if you are raised. Of course, we wouldn't say papers are not influencing many members of our society. Many of us will read papers on a daily basis. Sometimes we do formulate our own view based on what we are reading on the media, unless those who appear before the committee assist us to understand the fundamental issues that are raised at the time. Sometimes very easy for society to conclude that is the situation in SAFA. SAFA is in crisis, SAFA is this and that, because what we read on the newspaper, in fact, I think the Sunday Times this weekend, on Sunday, I think first page, we were at millions, and then SAFA's millions. And of course, people who are reading Sunday Times, they may formulate their own views. And then that's why we thought that it's very good after the media raised some of these issues that we are afforded an opportunity to meet with the committee and to be able then to take us through on some of the challenges that are facing sport in our country. But in this case, SAFA in particular. And what are the challenges that we are facing? And what are the issues that have some impact in terms of development and transformation of sport in our country? And then I think members also themselves, they conducted research on some of the issues. Therefore, members themselves are relatively well informed, because as you know, that in Parliament, there are researchers who do their work. They were relatively well informed, and we hope that SAFA then is going to raise the bar, take us really the high strategic issues, and then around the soccer or football in our country. And then a lot of letters, I guess, everywhere now. And then hopefully it's not about evictions, and I think we should continue to our meeting. And then you're most welcome, and then surely, President, you always appreciate leaders of delegation to introduce their delegation. Just to know exactly who are here in order for us to be able then to address some of the issues. You are most welcome, and we are thankful that you are here, and we are going to have a very fruitful meeting, and then we'll be able then to hear some of the issues. We are not necessarily influenced by the media, but of course we read the papers. We can't totally dismiss them. And that's why the leadership must take us through some of the structures of SAFA, the responsibility of these structures, and where they account in terms of a good governance area. I think it would be very useful for us to work that way. And then feel at home and be free. We are meeting with members of parliament. And then whose main responsibility will be to conduct our side functions and to make law of our country. Primarily, we are meeting with colleagues today who are also very interested to see development of sport in our country. Therefore, the engagement will be as fruitful as that. President, may I invite you then to to introduce your delegation, and then you lead us on some of the issues, and then we are able to move on. Honourable members, I thought those are issues really that you wanted us to have a thorough discussion on. I hope I've captured some of the issues that you wanted to raise. Of course, as they have discussion, we'll be able to come in and raise questions and have a thorough discussion on them. The President, of course, you know very well that football is very important. It's a national sport. In every corner, in fact, if you visit your area sometimes in Bembe District, I see young boys playing on the field. Some of these fields anyway are not even scratched, you know, to make it easy for them to play. And they simply mean that large number of people enjoy soccer or football at this point in time. Hence, anyway, we'll put much pressure on you to ensure that soccer becomes soccer. And that leadership also provides leadership in terms of development and the governance. Therefore, if you are harsh on you, you must understand that you are also passionate about sport. And then we take it as you are custodian of sport in South African situation, but it's not yours. Sport belongs to everyone. Therefore, just custodian. And then your duty is more than really what you are doing in general. All of you are custodian of sport in our country, particular football. And then when you are keeping harsh on you, must understand it's precisely because we all love this sport. And therefore, as a custodian, you must do exactly what we expect you to do. And then engagement really will be all that, general, that issues. And you will appreciate that. And then if members raise difficult questions, just appreciate it that we are doing exactly that because we are driven by one desire. It is that to ensure that there's transformation, there's good governance, but also the proper running of our sport in our country. And that's the point that we are raising, that we can host a very successful World Cup, and a very successful, I think everyone was saying that it's very successful. Even Cora, I think, was singing about that 2 years ago, when Cora was singing about this thing. Successful World Cup. Surely you can hold a very successful World Cup, and 2 years down the line, we are on the media for wrong reasons. I think it's a bigger problem that we are trying to address. And we are most welcome colleagues and let us have some very fruitful and cordial discussion. It's going to be robust, but cordial discussion. And surely I think we are going to then enjoy our discussion on this. Honorable Lee, I know that you are ready to pose questions, but you can't pose questions before they address the meeting. Another issue, President, really is not an issue. The issue for us is the issue that I've already mentioned. And the trust is important for us. Your transformation of sport, your development of sport, and then the whole issue of good governance. We are really convinced, President, that it's major problems of our sporting codes is just failure to stick to good governance. That's the major problem. If we can get rid of that, then the sport in South Africa can really grow better. But yeah, you are going to take us through. We are not saying that is your situation. That is our observation, having anyway met with many sporting codes, that the real problem is good governance. And then we'll invite you, President, to introduce your team. And then we'll make a presentation and have discussion on that. We'll stagger though our presentation, because I think it will be a long presentation. We'll stagger them to ensure that we engage strategically on some of the issues. Okay, thank you very much, President.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair of the Parliamentary Committee on Sport and Recreation. I'm merely standing out to show respect. Coming from the countryside, we were told to respect our elders. And if the Honorable Chair could permit me and the House that I address you seated for effectiveness, and of course knowing that it's going to be a robust one, I might need to balance myself in the chair if the chair could allow. Thank you. Let me start by appreciating the opening remarks from the Honourable Chair, and of course extend our greetings to the Honourable members of this very important committee that deals with issues of sport in the country. and also want to indicate up front that it has always been an honor to come before you and address issues of concern in the interest of this country. And we are here today to precisely do that. We are a very fortunate country. And I remember over the weekend when Jesse Jackson received the award, he said, South Africa is a great country. The country that has the best constitution in the world. We are here today to honor that. When we call upon, we'll always respect the call. Anytime you call us, we'll just ask what time and where, and we will be there. And we also want to appreciate the fact that whenever we're here, you give us time to present and interact with us and ultimately arrive at something that should drive this country forward. And I should acknowledge and address that indeed, football is the biggest sport in the country, in the continent, and in the world. And football in this country determines how people go out to work the following day after their teams or the national team has played, how they will drive on the road, how they will be productive, and how they engage each other. In fact, it even goes to family setup, that people might not even talk to each other, and people might not even eat. And that is the power of the game. You are correct, we are merely custodian of this game. This game is bigger than the total sum of us put together. It is a national asset. We are merely caretakers, and we are doing just this. Honorable Chen, before I introduce my delegation, I think it is important up front that we should indicate that there is no crisis in this organizational clause. Not at all. One thing I've learned about us as a country, we start thinking after reading newspapers. Of course, they have their own mission to sell their papers. I need to emphasize that. We are here, obviously, as honorable members who are quite aware of our duties, and we continue to do that. Of course, Chair, we're quite disturbed by developments the past few weeks, and those developments are really unfortunate. All of you read on papers, watch on television, and you can imagine what happens to our own families. My CEO told me, his son asked, will you ever spend time with me? Do you still love me? And he wanted to know why. Because every time you are away and you are addressing all these issues of football, my own wife asked me, is it worth it? You bring nothing home because of your involvement in football. Why don't you come back home, get a job, and work for us? But anyway, we raise our hands in order to help this country, and there's no way that we're going to give up. We will continue, irrespective of all the challenges that are coming up. We are certain that today we will set those records straight. We are here sitting, and of course going to clarify a number of issues. Some of the issues are documents that are circulated by nameless and faceless people. And we thought, yes, it's great we have a democratic country, but people must be bold and stand up if they're not happy about anything. And I must tell you, Honorable Chair and members of the committee, we're an organization that accounts on a yearly basis to our members. And as you know, the interests are so high that everyone wants to know what is happening. We've been subjected to trial by the media. And this continues to happen. Of course, some of them do tell us, what can we do? We have to write. which is a very unfortunate state of affairs. This country, South Africa, the continent and the world, like you rightly have indicated, has been celebrating the success of the first ever World Cup after 100 years in African soil. The most successful whatsoever. The world has been talking about it. But let me tell you today, in Boston, in every corner of this globe, they are reading about us. These Africans. We knew something is going to happen. A very unfortunate state. And it is about your country, Honorable Chair, that they are talking about. Your country that the world said, glory to Africa. There's nothing wrong being an African, and there's nothing wrong in hosting a World Cup in Africa. We will be discussing with you the issues of match fixing, which we, in terms of our understanding, that matter is closed. We went to Zurich, agreements have been entered. That's why you never heard us opening our mouth, because we knew all those things have been entered. We will, like you said, outline the limits of trust, how the monies are utilized and how the monies were effectively saved in the interest of the country. We will also discuss our finances that have been subjected to much, so much criticism. And people are talking about a document that is a public document that has been made available to everyone, including those that are talking about it. And we will show you that there is nothing sinister about the situation we're facing. It is normal for an organization like us to go through such a situation because the economic environment worldwide, in fact, countries are down on their knees. We feel very fortunate. And we must be aware that we were again cushioned by that World Cup that was hosted at all. Because in as far as the infrastructure, we were told we were importing almost everything, and that cushioned us. But people seem to turn a blind eye when countries are down on their knees, devaluating their currencies. This is the reality. People are being revenged. We are an organization like all other organizations. We cannot be exempted. However, we are here, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members of Committee, to expand and give you the facts as they are. And at the end, I trust, when we leave here, you will be happy that this organization is in good hands. When you stretch your eyes and look at these Honorable Members, they are volunteers. They earn nothing out of this organization. They sacrifice their time, money, in order to serve their country with dignity. And we believe, when we live here, we would have restored the integrity and dignity of our members. Some of them are coming to us and say, is it worth it? Do we need to continue this way? They are getting challenges from their own family members. Is it worth it? But we said in the interest of this country, we raise our hands to serve, and we will serve. Honorable Chair, as I end before introducing our members, I need to let you know that this year is 2013. We are going for our general elections. Fortunately enough, all of you did not apply for the post where you are. You were also voted in. And you know what happens when such things happen. Unfortunately, we find ourselves at a cul-de-sac like that one. The truth will count, and today the truth will be given to you, and I hope when we end up here, as we always do, you will be so informed that you will understand the scenario we are facing. Let me introduce our delegation, Honorable Chair. We have Vice President of SAFA, Advocate Chief Kumelo Nkonyane, who is quite known to you and a colleague in Parliament who you have interacted with. I don't have to let them raise their hands. Honorable Vice President Mandla Mazibuko, Honorable Vice President Dr. Eni Jordan, Honorable Executive Member of SAFA, Mr. Elvis Chisang, who is also responsible for the whole Western Cape. This is the man who has to crisscross the Western Cape in order to ensure that football is run effectively. When I say crisscross, I mean he's going to drive from one foot to the other and at times sit on the road. Honorable Morris Chabalala, National Executive Member, also from the Western Cape. Honorable Gerald John, also from the same province. And of course, the Honorable Kubi Govedasamy, member of the National Executive Committee, coming from KwaZulu-Natal. And of course, our CEO, Mr. Dennis Mambo, and we were supposed to be joined by Advocate Arendse. I hope he'll join us. And of course, Dr. Robin Peterson, CEO of the SAFA Development Agency. These are our delegates. And Chair, in your introduction, you mentioned issues that are very close to our hearts, issues of development. You have realized there are two CEOs in this organization. And it's precisely because we want to make a difference in this country. Yesterday, we just launched a competition that will run for the under 13 both boys and girls and under 15 both boys and girls as to make a difference. We just came back from a study tour to check best practice together with Dr. Ribbon Peterson, and we only arrived on Friday. And we believe we have a winning formula to can make a difference. Time to talk are over, but it's time to act. With those words, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members of the committee, that is the delegation that we have brought to you. The presentation will be led by our CEO, again, in the interest of good governance. And let me also start by saying we have great structures that ensure that the policy-making process and operational process do not conflict. We have documents, we have developed policies that are very clear. We have schedules of delegated authorities, very clear. So the CEO has no chance to spend when he's not supposed to spend. Neither can we tell him. He tell us where to get off if we haven't met the requirements. We have various committees that have to ensure that whatever goes through has to go through the right process. And he will expand on these issues of governance. And those who are done to ensure clear demarcations of power, it makes no difference whether I'm the president of this association. I remain part of the collective. And I'll never abuse my power as a president. I remain a servant to the team and to the country. So thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much, President, and good morning, everyone. I don't know, can you hear me? Yes.
Thank you, Chairperson. I thought there will be, if you look at your document, at the bottom, there are President and the Executive, and one of the Vice Presidents is Dr. Khoza. I thought there would be an apology for him, because the whole executive is there. Why is he not here? We need to get an apology so that we can get this thing clear. It's at the bottom of your document. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member of the Sport Delegation Parliamentary Committee. I need to indicate that we have demarcated our operations and how we operate at the association. Dr. Khoza, as the Vice President of SAFA and the Chairperson of the League, has specific tasks to focus on issues pertaining to the League. Knowing the activities of the League, we normally do not engage in whenever we visit. If you check throughout our history and record, we have never brought him again because of his tight schedule with the League itself and the demand that is out there. We just did not bring him on that matter, unless if there were issues that were specific about the league. So I must be honest about it. Like you said, we need to be honest. We did not invite him personally.
Okay. I think let us put it in presentation. We'll take the call as it's raised, but let us proceed with presentation. CEO, it's a very nice organization to CEO, and they're working very well. And I know that I'll get this one, that very few ladies, because I don't want this to be raised again, very few ladies in the leadership. But let us move on and do the presentation.
Thank you very much, Jefferson, and good morning to you and good morning to all of the members. The presentation, Jefferson, with your permission, differs slightly from the one that we emailed to you in the order in which we sent it, because the items that were added at the last minute, or at the last minute, but the items that were added last, we given your own introduction, those hot-button issues, we said let us try and deal with those up front, taking from the President's remarks as well, so that we don't skirt into those. And so we've taken some of the order from the back and then moved it to the front. So with your permission, Jefferson, if we could then present proceed with what is on the screen. But substantially, we've not changed anything in the presentation that was sent. We've just taken some things out and then updated the financial part of it, again, because of what happened over the weekend and the few days leading into the weekend. So if you forgive us for not making those, I think there's 5 or 6 slides available to you, but the soft copy will be available. Okay. Thank you very much, Justin. You have referred to the issue and the difficulties around governance of all football federations, and I must say, having been around sport for a while, this is probably the most difficult organization that I've been part of, purely because of the kind of governance structure that we have. We are not given any leeway by our National Executive Committee, and National Executive Committee is not given any leeway by its members. We meet our members on average about twice a year, one in an ordinary general council, and then there's the annual general meeting that normally takes place in September of every year, where the association, where the National Executive Committee accounts to the membership. But generally, just for emphasis again, the South African Football Association consists of 52 regions, covers every single inch of this country, and there are 311 functional local football associations, all demarcated according to the municipal demarcation board's specifications for local municipalities. Again, for the purposes of organization and resources, there really should be 380. It's my understanding that the municipal demarcation has 380 municipal demarcations in the country, but there are 311 functional ones. Some of them have amalgamated with others. Some cities in the metro, for instance, have decided that they do not necessarily adhere to the internal boundaries of that metro in terms of the local municipalities, and have consolidated some local football associations. That's why you see 311. But as I said, the South African Football Association functions in all 9 provinces through these 311 local football associations. The National Executive Committee is the highest decision-making body in between these general councils. And the National Executive Committee is constrained by the constitution of the South African Football Association. And this again, over the past 2 years, we've been going through an alignment process to align our statutes with that of the world governing body, FIFA. And this alignment is actually taking place across all of the regions as well as the 311 football associations. So some of the contestation that you may read about has something to do with that realignment, because all of our structures in the country now, first objective is that wherever you go in the world, football structure is a football structure. To strengthen the game around the world, there needs to be consistency. across the board, and consistency specifically in governance, consistency in the kind of rules that we face, and has then drafted a standard statute for all football associations in the world to align with. And what we are going through is happening in every single country, all of FIFA's 208 member countries. And so that process is still underway. We have reached now the level of the 311 local football associations where this realignment is taking place. New constitutions must be adopted, new leadership must be elected, and this is a process that is currently underway. And as I said, the National Executive Committee is organized in between this National Executive Committee meetings. There are 23 committees that are outlined in our constitution. Those 23 committees used to meet separately until June of last year. When in the midst of an assessment or reassessment of the governance framework of the Wetini Association and as part of the realignment process, the NC determined that in order to become a much more efficient organization, we need to reduce the number of members who serve in these committees. And we then clustered these 23 committees into 8 clusters, all of them grouped together to promote different responsibilities and functions. And those 8 clusters are now meeting on as the 23 committees used to meet, they are now meeting quarterly. So every 3 months, they get together 3 weeks before the NEC meeting to approve or to prepare and propose policies for consideration by the NEC. And those policies are then debated at the NEC and then become regulations or rules and regulations of the association. The association also has an umbilical link with both the SAFA Legacy Trust, which Dr. Jordan and Mr. Fredericks will talk about a little later in this presentation, as the infrastructure foundation that either one of them, Chief Nongkonyana, is the chairperson of that foundation, and I'm sure he will address any issues and questions you may have about the infrastructure foundation. There's the SAFA Secretariat, which I head, and then there's the SAFA Development Agency, which is headed by Dr. Robin Peterson, who will take you through our technical master plan. We are probably the only football association, or the only association of sports federation in this country, I think, with this kind of extensive development plan. And you will see, I think, that in a presentation to the committee before, and Dr. Peterson will give you an update on where we are with this. But generally, that's a high-level view of the governance structure of the association. I don't know if there are any questions at this point, Chairperson, about the structure and how we function. I also need to put in here, the President alluded to it a little bit, but we have a whole host of rules and regulations that govern both the sport as well as administrative processes of the association. There's a full suite of financial policies that we have in place, there's a full suite of HR policies that we have in place. There are rules that govern the sport both from an international standpoint but also from a local standpoint, like our football academy system that we're working with SASCOC on to regulate football academies so that we can increase the standard at which the sport is being developed at all levels, in particular those football academies. And I could go on and on about the number of different policies and regulations that we have. But from a governance standpoint, I think, as I said in my opening remarks, there's very little that any one individual can get away with and it not being noticed by our governance structures.
If there's a question on that structure,
Chairperson, yes. The question is not really about the structure. The question is about money in the bank, information on that on the screen, Chairperson. It says there that the legacy trust area, you have 471 million rand in the bank. The business is in the bank.
We are coming to that point.
Yeah, but, okay.
You might allow them to make presentation before we pause question. And let's preempt them before they make presentation.
now they prepare for my visit.
I know that the questions are raised, but I do think that is a structural issue that we are raising at the moment. We will come into the issue that we are raising. Paula, you want to raise the point?
Yeah, Honourable Chair, I think that let us allow SAFA to make this presentation because some of these will be overlapping. And my fear is time, because there's a lot of issues which you need to get to understand them. So the presentation is very straight to the point, so that you can understand. Thanks.
Okay. We are going to start at the presentation. The reason is very simple, that when Papa lives here, the entire society should be clear about the issues of SAFA. Because we are going to read a lot of stories again in the media, then we can't miss the opportunity that the leadership is here for us to take us through systematically on issues that worry the society as a whole. I think when structural issues, things are not questioned. And then I think we can proceed.
Thank you very much. Yes, Mr. Mambo will be continuing with the other element. I just need to raise another issue that has been making the rounds, that SAFA seem to be going out and reporting activities that are happening in South Africa to FIFA. And I want to make it very clear and on record that never will we shun away from protecting our own government. And never will we use the advantage that we're a member of FIFA to talk ill about a government that we have put in place ourselves. And I think that's very, very important, because that is a perception that has been created.
But on your structure, Dennis, and from that there's a transformation committee there. What does it mean in terms of your structure?
Chairperson, in the presentation itself, if I may just run quickly through to that presentation, there's a transformation. Yeah, it's part of the presentation. I just thought it would be good. Because there is quite a bit of information in the pack. Chairperson, if you allow me, we brought along our chief financial officer to speak to us about to give you a financial update. And in particular, you had requested an update on the 2011-2012 financial year and 2012-2013 financial year. Chairperson, our financial year runs from July 1st until June 30th, and we are sitting currently in the middle of the 2012-2013 financial year, and those financials, we are only beginning the audit process now. There's 2 months left in the financial year. The audit will itself for this year, this current year, will not be completed until the middle of August, where then we go through our approvals process for ultimate approval in September by our annual Congress chairperson. So we are not in a position to give you any completed financials for this current year purely because we are in the midst of it. But having said that, we will make a very, very strong attempt here to give you an indication of how we are managing our finances at a very high level, in purely because of what I've just said, that we will give you an overview of what we are currently doing since the last report that was published in September of 2012. Chairperson, if I may introduce to you Mr. Gronie Fluyo. And Gronie will start and just present. It's just a few slides that we've added, Chairperson, and then I'll come in, and other members will probably also contribute to this presentation.
Okay, that's fine. And I think we should allow to take us through.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and honorable members. As the CEO of SAFA has already said, we are going to give you highlights on the 2012 financial results. Our
financial year end is the 30th of June. So when we talk of 2012 financial year, we're talking of from the 1st of July to the 30th of June 2012. The loss that we incurred in the 2012 financial year was 56.4 million, as you can see on the screen. That is the loss for the year. But however, the association has been building up reserves, which we call retained earnings in accounting terms. So as you can see that we've tried to do an analysis of the last 12 years from 2001. We have been building reserves, and as at end of 2011, our reserves were standing at 98.7 million. So that's the reserves that we had. However, after we incurred a loss of 56.4 million in 2012, the reserves then at the 30th of June 2012 were standing at 42.2 million. So at the end of June 2012, we still had reserves of 42.2 million, even though for that particular financial year, we incurred a loss of 56.4 million, sorry. But we were able to be cushioned by the reserves that we managed to build over the years, which is shown quite clearly on the slide. So those are the two points I would like to make, Chairperson, that yes, we did make a loss of 56.4 million, but however, we still have reserves of 42.2 million, and this is indicated or shown in our audited financial statements, which were audited by KPMG. And I'd also like to highlight that we received an unqualified audit report, which was distributed to all our members. It was presented to the AGM of SAFA in September last year. We also received a clean audit, which is indicated in a management letter prepared by our auditors, KPMG, and that management letter is available if anyone needs a copy of that. Next slide, CEO. The second point I would like to highlight, or this slide explains some of the contributing factors to the loss of 56.4 million that we reported in 2012. We impaired some of the assets in terms of the accounting practices. If an asset is not in use, and also if you believe that the value has gone down, you must impair it. We also incurred quite a huge amount of depreciation because of the volume of assets that we have as the association. And I will not go into the rest of those items, but that slide talks about the reasons for the loss that we incurred of 56.4 million, which talks about investment in football, the expense that we incurred, the governance expenditure. Then the next slide, CEO. The second point I'd like to highlight, and I think that point has also been mentioned in the media, is that the excess of our current liabilities to current assets, which we call a liquidity gap. Sorry, CEO, the next slide. Yeah, which we call the liquidity gap. Is 92.9 million. What that means, and that is clearly stated in our audited financial statements as well, what it means is that we've got more current liabilities than current assets, and the gap is 92.9 million. However, our total assets are more than our total liabilities. Our total assets, the figure is not on the slide, our total assets are 224 million, and our total liabilities are 182 million. So the difference between our total assets and our total liabilities is 42 million, which is the reserves, the balance of the reserves that we've been building over the years. So yes, our current liabilities are more than our current assets, but however, our total assets are more than our total liabilities. So to put it in simple terms, SAF is not bankrupt. Our assets are more than our liabilities. The only highlight is that most of our assets are not liquid assets. In other words, you cannot turn them into cash quite quickly. Most of our assets are in property. We've got Safa House, and then we've got two other properties. We also have buses for our regions. CEO talked about 53 Safa regions. So we have buses for our 53 regions so that they can carry out the development, football development activity. We also have vehicles for our 52 regions, plus the School of Excellence. We also have other vehicles that are used for the development of football. So therefore, most of the SAFA assets are non-current assets, are fixed assets, which cannot be turned into cash quickly. So they are not liquid. And then, CEO, I'll leave it at that point. Then maybe you can address the recovery plan, how we plan to close that liquidity gap. Thank you.
Thank you very much, for your well energy. Let me invite members if they want to comment on this area, because it has been widely covered by the media. And I guess that they're almost saying, we are left with 2.7 million rand. We're almost bankrupt in the eyes of a lay person like me. We're almost bankrupt. And then the big issue that I think must allow members to pose a few questions, just for you to take us through, because I think we have really explained it in a manner and even myself now understand what are the challenges facing, but the recovery plan then will come in after this. Ramta.
I would like to welcome the fact that SAFA still has assets, but my concern is, I just want to know that because I see that there are still buses, there are also cars. But what about the Mercedes-Benz that you bought and later returned back? What was the reason for that? Thank you.
Thanks, Jefferson. I'll restrict my questions to the financials. To me, it looks like between 2011 and 2012, there was a swing of some 116 million from being profitable, 59, almost 60 million, to a loss of 56. You've given us the reasons, but that's an alarming statistic when you look at the turnover. That's my first comment. The second comment is that we talk about liquidity and liquidity gaps, but in my experience, if your trade and other receivables are lower than your trade and other payables, as they are here, at an alarming number, you've got a serious liquidity problem. And in normal practice, there should be a 2-to-1 ratio of trade and receivables over trade payables. It's not even close. You then go and have a look, gentlemen, at your balance sheet. Sorry, at your 2011, you didn't have an overdraft. Now you have a substantial overdraft. To me, it looks like there's a hell of a big debt trap here. You've given us some reasons how you're getting out of it, but that is of huge concern. You know, retained earnings are good, and I agree with you. You are solvent, there's no doubt. However, another loss similar to that, there are no retained earnings. Then you've got a serious problem. So those are, you know, some of the issues I would like you to address, because it appears to me that the debt trap is getting larger and the income is coming down. Thank you.
Chairperson, yes. The buses are put down here as an asset. But then you say you sold 22 of those buses. Now my question is, was the needs assessment done before those buses were bought? Or, you know, you have a sum. Before I buy a suit, then I must need clothes, you understand? So did you make a needs assessment before those buses were bought? And then these buses are supposed to be used for development. And I think it was mentioned that you have 53 regions. I then want to know where these buses are kept. First of all, you sold 22, how many are left? And then, where are these buses kept? And if they are not in the regions, why aren't they kept where they are? Because they are sorely needed in the different communities. That's a big need. There is such a need. But what about those buses? To me, that is worrying.
Thank you very much, Chair. Good morning to colleague and the delegation from SAFRA and our brothers and sisters of the media. Chair, if I may just piggyback on what the Honorable Mackenzie has said, the gap between 2011 and what I would call a total 180 degree turnaround, you know, sort of sends one time out the window shock. Because if you look at the comparisons which were put up there of the financial years as they progress, in a year in which the country has hosted an event, like 2010, there has been loss. Now, 2012 also, the 2011 there's a profit, 2012 there's a loss. I would really be fearful if then in 2013 when we've had and EFCON, we then move in the same pattern of when we post that something has happened. So I really want to check what systems are in place to guard against such, you know, to get a very decision, this is shocking. And I say with all due respect to the financial team of SAFRA, but this 180 on its own, you know, raises alarms. Secondly, there is now a dependency on SAFRA's part on the assets that they are accumulating to sort of, you know, they will gain the current financials, you know, to sort of turn the system things around. But, I mean, when they're selling buses, they're selling shares, Hyde Park is being sold, assets are being lost. I mean, whatever's been built up over the years is now going to be gone. I mean, that for me is a problem. The issue of SAFRA House, if I'm not mistaken, is built on government land. And so we've got, you know, an interest to make sure that we guard against, you know, that land being in good hands. But at the heart of it, I really think SAFRA needs to assist us there. How did we land in this 180 turnaround from 59 to 56? We need a very, you know, they need to take us into the confidence of how we ended in the borderline crisis.
You understand?
Just on AFCON, thanks Chairperson, on AFCON. I see you budgeted for a deficit of, I think, 6 million. You budgeted for a deficit. Somewhere I saw on the slide, you budgeted for that. Now, my question then is, Chairperson, AFCON has come and gone. Can you tell us the story of AFCON? Did it make a loss or did it make a profit?
Yeah.
Thank you, Chair. I think when you talk about finances, you need to discuss properly. AFSA and SAD, what happened? How much did they contribute to this association? What is the figure there? You have negotiations with these broadcasters' rights, television rights. What is happening there? You see, I think the reason why I ask this question about Dr. Khoza. People are phoning us. And I want to request people to stop phoning us when they have to come to appear before the committee. Because tomorrow, it will be said that I spoke to this member and that member. And I think this member is taking sides in your fight. Can you also explain to me, I've got the documents here. You know, I've done some research. There's this organization, EPF, what is that? It's an organization, Finland organization. Because according to this document which I have, FPF is fighting with Saba. Who is FPF? In this document which I have, is that they are meeting with people's schedule. And this FPF gets to that place before the meeting and they have their own meeting. And that goes at the expenses of Saba. Here is a document that is making available. I didn't print it. So can you people please tell us this, what is happening? Are you united in this football? Or are you fighting? I was on Radio SFM on Friday. I can't remember who was there with me.
Let us calm on that one. I want us for the benefit of every member to try to stick to their finances. We'll come to the team that you are mentioning, an organization, within the organization. I think we'll explain it when we come to it. But let us go back to their finances. They were well covered by the media. Of course, I'm not saying that the media was telling us the real story. And then also, I think SAFA is a very transparent organization. They should make information available if you want to write about SAFA. We mustn't ask about them and get information available on them. But let us go back to the finances of them. We will come back to what the core is raising and as we move on with the presentation. I think I would be happy about that.
No, I would be happy, but this is which are raised here. It's also got to do with finances, let's say. But let me stop there.
No.
I think I'll get there.
Well, once you reach that stage, then you will raise some of the issues.
Okay.
Let us talk about the finances. And I think remember there is concern about the state of Africa. I think Stuart also has raised the issue. And the liability access and the liquidity of the company. And it is very clear that the association generally is facing many challenges. And I think we must stick to it and then hear what are the issues that the leadership of SAFA wants to. Just to assist us to understand the whole issue. Because it was very scary that the big organization that suffers 2.7 million times to reach and then can close any day in the past. That was a big problem. But also there should be some explanation about, I think, through about the 92 million things that's captured in the media. Unless the SAFA is able to explain it thoroughly, the perception always remains. Unless you explain it better, all of us understand that we are the challenge. And sometimes then we can really leave the miscellaneous bid is 92 million dollars. But the reason why we are here is to assist us to understand issues. That many issues that are raised by the media, at least now, we have opportunity to talk and to be able to say these are issues and this is the state of the finances of the organization. It's in the posture where we are raising that we have a keen audit and unqualified. You are doing well in terms of that. But of course, but these are problems that we have to deal with. Of course, I know that there's a recovery plan to come to it. I think those are issues that I think we should stick to and fast. And once you are true on that, you can then go to other structural issues that are raised around governance and other matters. Mackenzie, I think you raised the issue.
Sorry, just in the side vein, at the last meeting with CESCOC that we had, and I'm sticking to finances only here. It was reported the figure of 92 million, which the chairperson has just alluded to, and there needed to be some explanation. ASCOC represented to us that they had asked the CEO, Mr. Mumble, to give him an updated set of financials, which hadn't been forthcoming at the time that we that they presented to us at that meeting. He said that they had indicated there'd be a time frame, I think it was a 2-week time frame, whatever it was, but those figures weren't forthcoming because you'd indicated that 92 was inaccurate, there'd been some changes. So I'd like you to explain that as well, please.
I can understand that you know how you disappointed in that you have to do that. The important part is that you need to start with the RSO. It has caused a lot of attention. And therefore, unless you explain it in a manner that the follow-up, I think it would be something that you can do.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members of the Committee. I think these questions are relevant and we should be able to take you through that. This is a very important platform for us. We do not want to leave without giving a thorough explanation to everything that has been asked here. And I must also indicate that the Times will also request the former CEO whose time these issues were went through, and he will highlight certain issues for the benefit of members. And of course, the current CEO will be leading the process, and of course, Mr. Kruyo is here to explain a number of issues. And perhaps just to dispose one quick one that you mentioned, the Sasol matter. We requested the documents returned to them. Can you explain what you want us to explain? If you just say finances, it was too broad. And the subsequent meeting was still to take place, and it had not taken place. We have records that we have written. We set up that meeting. We had a team ready for that. And we remain very open to interact with Sasco on any matter whatsoever. I thought I should just lay that to rest, that we have always remained very open to interact with them. So,
thank you very much, Chairperson. Through you, honourable members, I am just going to go down the list of the questions that I've noted and ask our team to come in on the different questions. So the first one was about the Mercedes-Benzes. You will see on the screen in front of you there's just a bit of a history of the vehicle fleet that SAFA has acquired over the past 13 years or 16, 17 years. For that matter, try to go back as far as possible to indicate to you the kind of vehicle fleet that SAFA has acquired and what has happened to that fleet over the years. But I think if I can come directly to the Minister's question about why there was a decision to return the Mercedes-Benzes. I'm not sure what the Honourable Member is referring to in that respect, because there are still a fleet of Mercedes-Benz vehicles out there in the regions. it's out there in the regions. The sponsored fleet has recently been returned because the Mercedes-Benz sponsorship had come to an end in December 2012. And so the sponsored fleet, but the purchased fleet is still out there in the region. So I'm not quite sure what the reference is to returning. Maybe the Honourable Member could clarify for us.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Chair. There are 27 Mercedes-Benz events that were recently returned. I'm not sure whether those were sponsored or purchased. And what was the reason for returning those cars?
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair and Honourable Member of the Committee. Perhaps we should set the record straight. That is not correct. No 27 Mercedes-Benz were returned. Those Mercedes-Benz are in the record of the association, driven by members who are leading our provinces and our regions. The only ones returned are the sponsored one, like the CEO said. I thought I should mention that. I think there was misinformation on that one.
Just a follow-up. How many were they, those that were returned, that were sponsored? That's yes.
Chairperson, again through you to the Honourable Member. The Mercedes-Benz sponsored 10 vehicles to the association. Three individuals decided that they will purchase 3 of the vehicles out of the 10. The other 7 were returned to Mercedes-Benz, and they have invoiced those individuals directly. We have nothing to do with that. That becomes their private property. But there are 7 vehicles that have been returned to Mercedes-Benz, including the Bafana Bafana bus and the Bafana Bafana panel van. But they all have been returned, and we've made alternate arrangements for that. Thank you, Chair. I am going to...
Thank you, Chairperson. I think it's a follow-up. I think as the Chair pointed out, and also President Matandami pointed also out, that we need to get, when we get out of the meeting, get clarity. I think the follow-up question, Chairperson, is based on the sponsorship or intent. So what one needs is clarity. It's not even one. I think we need, as a country, what conditions, because maybe our layman's understanding is to say if you sponsor something, you give it. And I don't understand where you sponsor and then you have to return if the sponsorship ends. If you just give the clarity so that all of our laymen out there in our corners can understand, because some of the things are too technical or too high for our understanding, which can just cause a unnecessary, a misunderstanding that can stay up there. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I will also deal with that, but if I could just go down the questions and then ask our team to come in. On the second question of the swing from between 2011 and 2012, I'm going to ask Mr. Luyo, and as the President indicated, Dr. Peterson to assist us on that. I've been on the job for 4 months, and they are here also to assist in providing some answers there. The same for addressing the liquidity gap. How are we going to get out of that debt trap? We will address that again between us. I will come in after they have, or they will also try and give some clarity on that. Whether need assessment was done on the buses, I will address that question along with where the buses are kept. And what systems are in place to prevent any further losses. I will also deal with that. Dr. Peterson will also assist us in, as I said before, just the differences between the 2011 and the 2012 financial statements. We'll ask, I'm not sure, Chief Nkonyana or someone to deal with the question on AFCON. Chief is the chairperson of the AFCON board. And we will ask Chief Nkonyana. Chief, I hope I'm not putting you on the spot, but you are the only one with the inside information on AFCON at this point in time. On the ASA and SCB, yes, we will share the figures on with you on the differences between the previous contract, the previous sponsorship and the current sponsorship. And the President, I'm going to have to ask this, is apparently a very political question. What is this FDF? And the question of unity, I will request the President to address that, and I will finalize on the question of the update to SASCOC, although the President has already said something about that. And then the Honourable Member's question about what the nature of the sponsorship actually is between what is given to the association and what is taken back, will also address that. Perhaps maybe if I can ask Ronnie Fuyo to deal with the and Dr. Peterson to deal with the liquidity gap and the differences between the 11 and 12 financial statements.
Thank you.
As the accounting officer at the time, I think this is something that I had to obviously deal with as we came to the end of the financial year. And I think that's important to state because it's completely contrary to what was stated in the media this weekend. We had a press conference when we announced these financials. They were not a hidden document. You know, the paper this weekend seemed to indicate that they had somehow secured the secret document. Completely false and erroneous. We put out a press release, we had a press conference on our financials. They are audited, they are a public document, they were presented again at our annual general meeting, and there's nothing hidden here. It's something that we've had to deal with. We had to recognize that we have moved from 2010, and in answer to your question, sir, the profits of 2010 are recruited in 2011. That's why 2011 is such a bumpy year in terms of our finances, because the dates of the end of the 2010 coinciding with the 2011 financials. So I think that let me talk about the swing from 2011 to 2012, because it is a very concerning one and a very important one to understand in all of its nuances. First of all, there was a figure quoted here of 180 million rand swing. I don't want the media to pick up on this. It's quite clear from the statement that the swing is 115 million rand. So let's get the
correct that is. I referred to a 180 degree curve.
Ah, sorry, thank you. I'm with you, thank you. It's 115 million, 180 degrees. I will accept that. That's a fair analogy, but I don't want it to be misunderstood as 180 million rand swing. I think if you look at if you all have the statement of comprehensive income on our financial statements in 2011, I think there's which is on page 12 of the annual financial report, which is in your document pack. I think that you'll see that there are some very significant differences between 2011 and 2012, which would account for that swing. So let's start at the very top, which is on the sponsorship income. In 2011 it was 250 million rand, and in 2012 it was 235 million rand. Reflecting, of course, that we had moved from World Cup year and the ending of the contracts that were concluded prior to the World Cup, which were, in the words of our sponsors, given because of the World Cup, into a post-World Cup era where all of those benefits that the sponsors were getting through their association with Bafana Bafana and the national teams are no longer there in the same way. So our sponsorship revenue did decline, and it has declined further. It's a difficult environment. We know one of our major banks pulled out of sponsorships altogether in this economic climate. So all of the sporting associations are struggling with sponsorships, and we of course are no exception to that. So there is a 16 million rand swing in revenue. But the biggest ones actually come in the contribution of the World Cup. If you look in the fourth line down, there is a swing from 72 or 73 million rand, which was contributions received of cash and equipment, the bulk of which, by the way, was equipment, with buses, etc., etc., and 39 million received in 2012. So there is a 32 million rand or a swing between those two contributions. And that therefore leads to a revenue decline from 366 million to 312 million. That's a significant change in revenues. And of course, we're not a company, we're not an organization that sells, you know, various things. We are dependent upon sponsorships and upon those revenues. And in a market that we're in, it was predictable, but it was a difficult adjustment to make, coming off the sponsorship levels that we had over the previous years. On the expense side, if you look at the expense side, there's a figure of 328 million rand, which is the total expenses. However, if you go down to the bottom of that same line in 211 of 2011, you will see that there is a recovery of cost of World Cup tickets, which is of 29 million rand. You see that's a positive, which is a strange thing in expenses, but apparently that's how the accountants account for it. But that's effectively 30 million rand additional revenue. Additional revenue. So in fact, our expenses, if you take that out, were actually 357 million rand of actual expenses, as opposed to last year of 355 million rand. So we actually lived on less in terms of our expenses. And our revenue was actually that 366 plus that additional 30 million in effect was the money we received in. So that you can see where the swings are starting to happen. So we did live on less in terms of, we did cut our costs in the course of 2012 from 2011, but we did have some costs that we could not cut. Our mandate as an association is to, obviously one of our key mandates is to field the national teams, and we had very significant increases of 2012 and 2011 in fielding the national team costs, and that related specifically to the preparation of Banyana Banyana for the Olympics. We invested an enormous amount of money in preparing Banyana Banyana for their participation in the Olympics and also the full program of national teams. If you go down the rest of the issues, you will see there that the competitions we also increased by 4 million rand. That's football development. Our other football development costs went up another 9 million rand. So we're putting the money where it should be going. Our governance costs went up just by inflation. And our other event-related expenditure came down by 19 million rand. And our administration costs came down by 15 million rand. So we lived on less. We cut costs. We implemented cost saving. It was not enough. But we did do that. We weren't anticipating, by the way, revenues of 340 million, which we didn't achieve. So that was our budgeted revenues. Then we have some, when we do, and you know, you've all sat through audits, I'm sure, and you sit with your auditors and you look at, for instance, the impairment of assets. And we had received the 35 buses, which we received from Hyundai, who was a World Cup partner. They were acquired for the World Cup to transport teams, etc. And then they were given to Safa at the end of that. That comes in as revenue 2011. But we thought, that's nice, we will receive it. We're not going to say no to receiving 35 luxury buses. But we realized that our regions can't use those luxury buses. That's why we purchased the sprinter buses, the smaller buses, which are out in the regions for their use and remain there. So we had 35 buses. We tried various means of commercializing those, but that's not our business. We're not a bus company. So we took the decision twofold. One, to sell those that we don't need. So we do have a requirement to transport national teams, etc., so we kept some of them. But the others, we took the decision to dispose of them. We had actually had a number of offers that fell through during the course of that year, and it's only in this last half of the year that we were able, in the current financial year, that we've been able to dispose of those 22 that we decided we did not need any longer. But we had to then look at the value of those buses, because what had happened is we had tried to sell them. From January 2012, we had tried to sell those buses at the book value so that we didn't incur a loss. And what we discovered when we went to market to sell those buses was that the price was way out of line with what the market was prepared to offer. And so when we came to the end of our financial year in June, we sat with the auditors, we said, here are the offers we've received on the buses, they're way less than the book value, so we had to impair the assets, which came to an amount of 16 million rand. Now that's a book loss, it's not a cash loss, it's an accounting loss, but it's a necessary one. Once we had impaired them, we were able then to sell the 22 without incurring further losses. There's also, and this will answer one of the quick questions, there's also there a provision for losses in a subsidiary, 6 million rand, 5.9. What that is that that's the AFCON loss that you were referring to, honorably. AFCON at that point had just been set up. So no profits had yet been made when the 30th of June 2012 came along, but costs of 6 million rand had been incurred. Because SAFA is a controlling entity in that structure, those accounts have to be consolidated into the overall SAFA accounts. And at that point, there was a loss of 6 million as of the 30th of June 2012. Of course, that position has changed now that the tournament has come and gone, and I'm sure Chief Norkunyan will be able to give us an update as to whether there is still a loss or whether that's turned to a profit. But at the point when we closed our account, we had to account for a 6 million rand loss. Again, it's not a real loss. It's not a loss that we expect to go. It's an ongoing loss. And so if you take all of those factors into account, the decline of revenues, as well as the impairments of assets, the depreciation, the increase in depreciation we had to deal with, the provision for losses in the subsidiary, that would explain the turnaround between 2011 and 2012. And I think that they're all rational. It's not as if we carried on recklessly. As you see, our administration came down by 15 million rand, which is a significant sum of money in running an organization like SAFA. We invested additionally where we had to in football development, but even there this year, we've had to cut costs. Now, we then had to still sit with our auditors and say we are faced still with a 92 million rand liquidity gap. Now, the year before that, it wasn't as if we did not have a liquidity gap there as well. We had 70 or so million rand liquidity gap. So we'd had a very difficult year during 2012 dealing with that 70 million rand liquidity gap. I must also indicate, and I think Mr. Schroeder will bear this out, on that liquidity gap, if you look, and it was a very pertinent question that was raised by Honourable McKenzie around the liquidity gap, which you will find on page 13 of the accounts, where you look at current assets over current liabilities. And in the current liabilities, you will see the biggest item there is trade and other payables. Now, Honourable McKenzie, it is somewhat of a consolation, not sufficient, but somewhat of a consolation, that a lot of those other payables are accruals that we have got going, some of them going back 5 or 6 years, for payments that, for instance, claims that our regions should have made had they been compliant at the time. And so we've accrued those as liabilities. But actually, in this year, we've taken a decision that we can't carry on accruing stuff for regions that don't ever become compliant. So we've made a deadline. I can't remember whether it's 12 months or 24 months. 12 months now. If you're not compliant, we're going to write those off. So that amount, which has been accumulating historically over the years, will come down significantly in this year. We have managed to manage our creditors, which is the main concern. There are no creditors that are currently threatening us to put us into liquidation because we're unable to pay them. So although there is a challenge, we have been able to negotiate and meet that challenge in, I think, a very responsible way during the course of these last 2 years. And I think that we also, when we were faced with this in the auditors, we had to give them assurances about being a going concern, because obviously a going concern is around your current assets and your current liabilities. And we were able to do that with a reputable firm of auditors. We were able to show them how in this year to come, what our secured revenue was, what our budgeted expenditure was going to be significantly slashed from the year before, what our potential revenue might be, and they were very harsh and very strict on allowing potential revenue into our accounts. But we put together a turnaround plan. We were able to persuade the auditors, not in having to beg them in any way, and they did not even put in an emphasis of matter. And that's important. If you know accountants, if you know, it's not just that there is an unqualified audit, it's not even an emphasis of matter that is pertinent to our being a going concern. So I think that, you know, we've done this before at a press conference, and it is simply, as was pointed out at the beginning, there are people who like to stir up things at this time, who suddenly now come across our financials as if they've been a hidden document, and make allegations that we have already clarified in multiple ways, to our membership, to our auditors, to the media, in every forum. We've accounted for it as we're doing now. And there's nothing that we're trying to hide here. Yes, we are facing challenges. There's no doubt about that. Absolutely no doubt. Every sporting code is doing that. Every code relying on sponsorships is having to face challenges, but we're dealing with those responsibly. Thank you.
Chairperson, if we may hand off to Chief Mokonyana.
Chair and honourable members and colleagues, thank you very much, Chair, for the opportunity. I think Dr. Peterson has actually answered to a question of Honourable Lee. He said we must define this 6 million and can we tell the story? I think he has told the story, with which I must say I agree. And I think the Honourable Shangwa also on the same point. If you have seen what was on the site, it was in inverted commas, that's 6 million. What actually had happened to add this story is that when we approached the government to come to the party, as it were, the government, of course, came and actually quite a substantial amount was actually contributed, for which we are indebted to our government for that assistance. There was also some funding from CAF, but the question was, what SAFA, because SAFA is the hosting association contributing to the hosting of AFCON 2013, and indeed SAFA came to the party with the 6 million, hence it is in inverted commas. The latest is this, that we were supposed today to receive the audited financial statement. The picture is changing. But because we are here, some of us are members of the Finance Committee, which is chaired by the Deputy Minister Nene, and we had to postpone that meeting. Hopefully, they'll be able to meet before our board meeting on Friday, which is scheduled on Friday. So I would indicate that for that, in terms of the financial from ACON, we'll be able to account once a report is approved to financials. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I think the CEO of the Software Development Agency, Dr. Robbie Peterson, has covered the point of the swing. But however, I would like to emphasize or respond to the question of the liquidity gap, which is the difference between our current liabilities and current assets. I would like to emphasize that our balance sheet, as you see it in your deck, it's a strong balance sheet with reserves of 42 million. As I've said before, that in total, our assets are more than our liabilities. However, we are in the process of restructuring our balance sheet, because currently we've got more non-current assets, more fixed assets than the liabilities. So we are in the process of restructuring that, liquidating some of the fixed assets. For an example, we sold some of the buses in the current financial year. So that cash comes into the current financial year, which is the 2013. And we have sold some of our shares. So we are in the process of liquidating some of our current assets or some of the non-current assets. So the position at the 30th of June was that most of our cash was sitting in the fixed assets. That's why there is concern about the ratio of the current assets to current liabilities, because most of our cash was sitting in the non-current assets. So that's a structure of the balance sheet that we need to restructure. But however, our balance sheet is strong. We've got reserves of 42 million sitting on our balance sheet. So we've got a strong balance sheet, and there's no question of SAFA being bankrupt from that perspective.
Thank you, Chair. Just a few follow-ups, and thanks to Mr. Peterson and the men for clarifying things. I've got four questions which go to the finances. Firstly, you indicated that you lived within your means, but I am concerned that the expenses have stayed on par, although you've explained it. If you look at your balance sheet and income statement, they've actually stayed on par, but your income has come down, so and expenses haven't followed that ratio coming down. So that's the first point, and I think that is a concern. The second thing is debtors. Could you tell me what your debtors, how many days your debtors are currently listed at, and your creditors, because you indicated you're managing those creditors okay. A big concern, I think, to this committee is the fact that under football development, which is in 212 and 211, we have a total expenditure of 107 million on football development for those 2 years. Now, it appears as if the president of SASCOC is not comfortable with that number and would like some clarity on that, and in fact has referred that issue, I believe, to the minister. So maybe you could put a little bit more meat on that point. And then finally, regarding the selling of assets, I understand the fixed assets issue. However, are some of those assets going to come back and bite you? You know, sometimes there are assets you want to keep that will eventually turn into or help your balance sheet down the line. So are these assets considered expendable, or is it just a case of the financial liquidity crunch you needing to dispose of them? Thank you.
Thank you, sir. On the KPMG report, page 35, 22.2, it says that SLAM joint venture equity accounted income National Executive Committee allows this, and honorary, can you explain that to me? And then you go to page 37, loans and borrowing. Now, who is getting these loans and this borrowing? Can you explain that? Are clubs, or is it the executive who borrowed this money? It's on this KPMG report. Thank you.
Chairperson, you know, there's still uncertainty about the amount of money we got from FIFA. We have different numbers mentioned every time from different people. I want to know now exactly how much we got, what was our share of that got from FIFA, when we received it, and what did we use it for. The second question is about development. I Facebooked this meeting, Chairperson. I'm also Facebook Chairperson. I Facebooked this meeting, yes, last night. Now, tell the people that we are going to meet this morning. Now, ask them, what should I ask them? And they were very, very funny questions, really. And some of them came up already. But the one was, the important question to me was about development. Because I, you know, I love that word and I love that it's sport. But this lady, and she's a lady, involves soccer in the Zululand region. Kora in your region. And she wanted to, she said, ask them. They keep on promising us money for development. They promised us money for development. As if it was a promise made to them. And I'm glad that we have Mr. Chisana here, because he is the one that is representing the West Province, it seems, that perhaps he could answer that question. She wants to know, when are they, and that's the club. And as far as I could gather, it's a promising club. And those are people that we must support. But she wanted to know from him, from me, and I must ask you, when are they getting their money?
Okay, but it's been allowed that she was suffered to...
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. And quickly, I just want to do a follow-up on what the Chief has said, the Chief Nongonyane, that at a certain point the government was approached and it brought in a substantial amount of money. And I just want to know what is substantial amount in figures. A second question, Chairperson, it's a follow-up as well. You stated that you are not a commercial enterprise. You depend on sponsors. And then I just want to know, as you have APSA and SAB, how much do you get from them, the sponsors? Thank you, Chairperson.
CEO.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will ask Dr. Peterson and Groni to deal with, I think, the bulk of the questions, the expenses, whether the expenses remain on par. I think for this current financial year, as we said, we've estimated we are about 20% below where we were last year. Those figures will be audited only after, or in the audit process has started. We've done the audit plan for this year, and then, but we will know the good picture only after the end of the financial year. But on the slide, as I said before, as we've indicated before, we've already begun with that clawback plan, and I think we're somewhere around 81 million of that 92.9 million we've already addressed, as you've seen on the slide. And that's why we are comfortable that we can do what we said we needed to do. Because I must bring the attention of the members to a little bit of small print there. But our budget for this year, for the first time in the past, has always been approved by the National Executive Committee. For the first time in the last year, our members, all 52 of those members, approved that. It's in our constitution, changed it for the purpose of good governance. Our members are now the ones who approve the budget, and they give us a hard time on that floor. But every penny that we put in that budget. And going forward, our projection was, in terms of that budget, that we would come up with a $2 million surplus. And our intention is still to try and achieve that. As I said, we will make sure that these figures, once they are audited, I'm sure we will come back to the committee on that. But I'll ask Dr. Peterson and Mr. Sluk, Mr. Julio, to address, I think, most of the questions that have been asked, and also Mr. Shoshana. I'm sure we're very happy to explain exactly what is happening in respect of the Western Province and some of the things that are happening here. I think it's of interest. Yesterday, I was so busy preparing for this presentation here, I did not attend probably what was the most important thing for us this year. Chairperson, that I'm happy that I didn't attend, because, again, I'm very happy to be here. We launched, as the President said, our under 13 and under 15 leagues, both boys and girls, in all 311 football associations, so that there's a targeted program. Dr. Peterson will address that a little bit more in detail in the presentation of our technical master plan, because for the first time in South African football history, we are launching leagues with a very, very defined technical outcome. A very defined technical outcome to make sure that whatever happens in these leagues, that talent is actually tracked and nurtured in across the spectrum. And I'm sure I was hoping in the last few weeks that we would have been able to pay attention to that in the media. If we can take the media to task a little bit here for not doing that, because we have informed them that this is what we are planning to, and it simply hasn't happened, Jefferson. And it's a tragedy that we have to deal with the football politics rather than football development in the public space. Yes, these things are important and must be addressed, but I think it is more important that an event like yesterday, I've not seen the newspapers this morning, but I'm hoping that it has been covered very well, because that's what's important for us. And those are the things that we are still busy doing, still rolling that out. And as I said, Dr. Peterson will address that. But we are hoping that we will still come in on target on our budget. That's our main driving force on the finance side. May I hand over to the President and then Dr. Peterson and Gronie Skuya?
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. Okay. It's a pity that we haven't gone through the entire presentation, because some of the questions that are being asked are really covered at great length, where you will even get figures, issues of development. I know, Honorable Lee, you'll be excited when it comes to that, because to us, that is the energy we needed to move forward, and this is what the country needs. And the issue of the legacy fund would also specify the amounts. You will see those amounts. They will appear on the board, and I believe you might have that on your page. But unfortunately, some of the questions do come in between. I hope Dr. Peterson and Phil will be quick on addressing, so that we get to some of the issues that I believe may not necessarily get the answers now, so that we answer them when we get to them, because you'll be able to see. I'm trying to advise them not to answer a question that is asking about how much was given, because it's there. And on development, it's going to come. The budget is massive. If you are a board member of a particular company, we would want you to also assist us, because we're going to knock at your door. It's a massive amount.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I think we should touch on the issue that I raised. If there are no longer questions on finances general, then let's move to the next presentation. It just usually stick to one area forever. If there are no issues, move to our next presentation. If answers are in the next presentation, I think you must indicate in the next presentation to answer this question. It will be far easier for us to start moving. Okay. Honestly.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just a small clarity. In one of the documents that was submitted by these faceless people, they are alleging that SAFA is using consultants to do their work. And can you justify this? Because they are saying you are paying exorbitant money to this consultant, whereas you are having staff in your organization. and the other one is the issue that is appearing on the KPMG report that is saying that you are a defendant in the case relating to professional services, and that plaintiff is claiming plus minus 1M with 15.5% per annum interest. Can you elaborate more on the issue and what was the case all about? Thank you.
Just a very brief response, Chair. Are we living within our means? Our budget was the part that is not in these reports, but our budget, if you look, we've gone from expenditure of 355 million. Our budget for this year, which is in the next presentation, is 271 million. That's a cut of 80, and we are 30 million below budget. So we have made massive cuts, so we are dealing with our reality. That's very important. I don't have the debtors and creditors aging analysis, but they're under control. There's no issue there. The funds, actual, the breakdown of the spend on development, I don't think we've got those exact figures here, but we'd be very happy to provide every centre's accounts, but it covers things like regional grants, women's football, youth competitions, etc., etc., and we're quite happy to give a detailed breakdown of those amounts. The quick answers to Mr. Dikashwe, Honourable Dikashwe, on page 35, the honoraria and the allowances for National Executive Committee. The honoraria for the National Executive Committee is 115,000 Rand a year, which I think is a very, very modest allowance for what they do. Basically, as the President says, he's there the whole, he has to live doing this work, as do most of our executive members, and for that they get paid 115,000 Rand a year. And the allowances are the meeting allowances, the travel allowances, and so on, for all of the work that they have to do during the course of the year as an executive. I think those figures are very reasonable. On page 37, the issue of loans and borrowings, you'll see the breakdown there is actually mortgage bonds and interest-bearing liabilities. The 9 million there is primarily mortgage bonds and installment sales. So it's leases, etc., etc. There's not borrowings or loans to members. They're asset-related. I think that does cover those particular questions, and then there was just one more on consultants. That allegation is spurious. We have used consultants for a few projects, putting in place a performance management system. The restructuring process where we've had to use some labor lawyers, we've had to use an entity that ended up actually giving us most of their time free as part of their corporate social investments. So it's a spurious claim in those allegations that we're using many, many consultants. It's not true at all. And then we're happy to provide you with all of those specifics.
Allay the fears of from the Quora, Honourable. None of us, in terms of our own policies, would take a loan for the association. If we are down and out, we know you are there, you'll assist us.
This is when something is documented, you not get clarity.
Thank you.
I thought we we just very, very briefly, our financial platform is also in the business of doing comparisons in sport, looking at income and advising us on methods in which and ways in which we can enhance our revenue base. And one of the key issues here, the main purpose for this slide on here is really to point out this particular figure here that you see. This is a comparison of revenue for SAFA, for Cricket SA, and for SA Rugby. And you will see that the big disparity here in broadcast revenue, and this is one of the key focus points for us, is that we need to go and do better in this space. We currently have, or in the last financial year, we earned 27 million rand from our broadcast rights, as opposed to, and that was about 10% of what Cricket earns from broadcast, and less than 10% of what SA Rugby makes from broadcast. And it's our objective that we need to move to a better space in the broadcast space. So we have also concluded, well, whilst we will stay with the public broadcaster, as the country would want us to do, we have also gone the satellite route and looking for other ways in which we can increase our broadcast revenue. But there it clearly is a bit of disadvantage for us in this space, and so by comparison, we really need to begin to address and do better there. I think in most of the other areas, we are pretty much on par. I think we should be much, much bigger than we should be in terms of our revenue, given the size of the sport. But I think we are pretty much on par with our sister sporting federations, at least the other two big ones. But in terms of the transformation of South African football, we participated in a workshop with the Minister of Sport 2 years ago, where the Minister really emphasized the issue of transformation in sport, which I think is a very big concern for the Portfolio Committee as well. And when we talk about transformation, generally people tend to, I think, narrow it down because of our peculiar history, and we should be always mindful of that. That it's not just racial transformation that we have to undergo. And so the association is set on in its internal structures and what it is doing on a day-to-day basis, looking at the issue of racial transformation. What are we doing in that respect to make sure that we reflect the demographics of the country in that respect? The economic transformation, Chairperson, you've heard now for pretty much the whole morning here, how we earn our money. And clearly there is a need for us to transform in that respect. We need to generate more native revenue, and we need to generate more native revenue instead of being reliant on sponsorship all the time. As you heard, we went from one sponsorship for one national team, Bafana Bafana, from 100 million rand a year to 240 million rand a year. It's a gap of 60 million rand a year that we had to plug. And basically, we are looking at ways in which we can do that better. Broadcast is one of those areas, Chairperson. Sport performance, Dr. Peterson will talk to you in detail about the sport performance part. On the governance part, as I've said before, we've already put in place a restructuring on the governance level to make us more efficient and to make sure that this association actually enters, get closer to the 22nd century, because we are hoping that the technical master plan would take us there. Administratively, Chairperson, we are undergoing a massive restructuring in the administration, and Dr. Peterson has already said that we've saved a lot of money on the administrative side, but we're restructuring, making this association a bit more lean, a bit more efficient than it was in the year before. In that, we are moving down to from 105 staff members. We are cutting back on the staff. I think we will end up by in the next month or so with 93 staff members, which is cutting it very tight, given the mandates that we have as a national association. And then, very, very importantly, Chairperson, there is the National Sports Plan, which this association cannot be seen to be separated from. And all of what we do is driven by that plan as well. So as we go forward, as we plan, we must ensure that we abide by that. I'm not going to go into too much detail on this, Jefferson, because there's a slide for each one of these, and I've put there the objectives and some of the challenges that we face. Members are obviously free to perhaps engage us further on a detail, but without wasting any further time, let me just leave it there on the transformation side. But this is really essentially what we are. There is a focus program on transformation in those six areas, and I'm very sorry to say, members, the number one area is racial and gender transformation. There is a big problem in football. It is a very patriarchal sport. And it's something that we have to do. The leagues that we kicked off yesterday, we said we are not going to do anything new unless there's gender considered in there. So what you saw yesterday, as much as we put into boys football development, we've done now for girls football development. So all of the 311 leagues will be required to have girls teams as well from the 13th and up. It's essentially part of this program. It's a very focused, coordinated program on translation in those six different areas, Jefferson. And with that said, with your permission, Jefferson, I'd like to hand over then to Dr. Jordan and his team to deal with the issue of the 2010 legacy project or legacy from the 2010 FIFA World Cup.
Okay. No, I do think that there is very nice now that is under 13 and under 15. And then we have launched them since things are moving on time. And but we must address as we move on, how do you link your programs with the school sport? Where do you feel the general on that? And they also, President, I think they ended just comparing us with the white class associations, very high level association. How do you compare us with them? And they read well in general, in the international, not necessarily in our continent. And but what are the areas that we have to improve on? As an association, because they're a very big association, they're the biggest organization now. So many local authorities, the development, it's a very huge organization. But how do you compare the best in the world? Because it's one thing to be big organization, but also making the management and cabinet structures that assist you to be efficient and effective. But also not to develop people forever. They end up in development and never raise any other point. Another coding code that they put you there. That then you remain in academy until you are gray. You never reach the ceiling. And then you remain there forever. Generally, you'll be always in that place, but you don't move. There's no systematic process. You just see progression of a person. You can't even trace them. I hope that you'll go to the next people. Because you can't compare an Alexander person and a vicious court person, given the heat of our country. And it's important that in fact you observe this one very seriously, because it's a very important one. Can turn things around if you act very well. I think we'll comment, President, on that as we how to link with schools, and also then give us some session that they won't remain forever where they are. Because the difference between a social sport, when you are playing soccer just for social enjoyment, and when people are playing soccer at a high performance level. And then social sport is fine for seeing I can play it. That's for social healing. No other aim. But there's a high performance sport. I think the other question is about high performance sport. And therefore there must be a systematic way where we can trace people. 1991 was at this level. And then 2011 was a professional player. But also, and I will talk about it as we move on in some of these areas, President, and I think let me even invite Dr. Jordan to take us to. It's a very important legacy project, though. Just to indicate that we have visited some of your areas. As usual, generally, we're very disappointed in some of the areas. I think the Buffalo City one, we're very disappointed though. And we thought that there's something wrong how we manage some of the issues. And a little bit impressed with the in last one in Cape that everything it was working. It just is one day and then in the pool of poverty is a very difficult situation. And then also seeing how we went there, one club, for how many villages, thousands of villages, 200 villages, somewhere in Nesotho. And then it's a very nice one. It was well maintained when we were there. We don't know if it's still well maintained now, or houses are rooming. We don't know what is happening right now. Because maintenance of this facility also is a big question for many people. I think in Joburg, Western area, we think also they're doing very well. And then, of course, we are still going to be visiting Free State and the Northwest and other areas to see this legacy project. So, John, you want to take us through?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I know it's been a long day. I'll run rather quickly. I gave the members copies of all the letters and all the information relating to the cost. I think the first point that I want to make is that there is on page 6, marked page 6, this was a proposal which Jerome Paul, the Secretary General, placed before the board meeting on the 23rd of September 2010. And most of us were present in that meeting. Dr. Kosa chaired the meeting. I was there. Of course, Becker was there, Raymond Hack, Nusa Maslango, Mubarak Muhammad, Chabo Malketi, Kaiser Matarong, Eric Mchacha, Sawa Nathan, Kirsten Matandani, Deputy Minister Nene was there, Chief Nonkanyana was there, Molefi Olivan, Esso Pahat was there, Leslie Sidibe, and Natasha Chiklas. This then was presented, and it was then accepted. Now, you'll see on top, reporting is to FIFA, and the funding is from FIFA. In the next document, you'll see this trust then was established by the founding trustees, which you have listed there. The trustees is Jerome Vault from FIFA, Kristen Namagandani, Michael Pess, and Sunita Singh, who was then the DG of Sport, of the Department of Sport. They were the founding trustees of the trust. On the next page, if you, page 1, you will see 1.3.4, donor. Donor means FIFA. So this money is FIFA's money. So 100% of the money is FIFA's money, because a lot of misconception was presented around this issue. Now, then the Not at all. In fact, in this book, government recognized that. It's on page, I think it's page 86 of the minister's report, which I'm sure members will have. The minister reports on the legacy trust, and I will just read. FIFA has contributed 100 million to the trust, 80 million of which was invested directly in social community projects. The remaining 20 million was already paid out to SAFA before the tournament to cover World Cup preparation and the Construction Association's headquarters. For the first project, FIFA purchased 35 team buses and 52 vehicles, which were handed over to SAFA. This is the minister reporting to you, I assume. So that would account 100 million less 20, which is 80, less 10, which is 70. Then there was another $5 million which SAFA negotiated with FIFA, and Ronnie can give you the detail because he was negotiating with FIFA. Then the $65 million was converted at 7 rand to the dollar, and that money is now in the trust. So you have, I think, copy of the financials at the back. I also gave the honorable members not only the amount of 471, but also the accounts. They can phone the banks, APSA, and so on and so on. That money is in the bank. And this is the decision that we took. It is for development, this money. You saw the problems of SAFA with finance and other issues. This money is ring-fence. SAFA is employing this for development, and that's why you saw the announcement of the under 13 league, because one of the problems is that junior football has collapsed in this country. We must invest the money there. The second thing that is often overlooked is transport. The first thing that is a signal of poverty is immobility. Poor communities cannot travel. And this, unfortunately, has been an insult and a humiliation around SAFA's position that we have to provide transport for these teams. I can tell you last year, we had at least 50 players killed on accidents. Why? Because 20 players signed that on the back of the buggy to play their match, the buggy overturns and fatalities. People from Limpopo can tell you how many people get killed in Limpopo of unreliable, dangerous transport. Now, it would be totally irresponsible to overlook that issue. So, the second thing, the country is big. If a team from Springbok must play in Upington or in Kingdom, it will cost them 5,000 rand. They will not finish the season. If a team from Okanyekude must play in Kokstad, they're not going to finish the season. And this is the reality. Eastern Cape, you must go from Kokstad to Plattenberg Bay to play your match. Transport is a major issue. So, what have we done? We've provided 52 Mercedes-Benz buses to our regions. Mercedes-Benz buses to our regions. We bought 26 Mercedes-Benz cars for the NSC members because, again, this man lives in George. He must go to Worcester, to Sardana, in his car. Now, why did we buy Mercedes-Benz? Not because we think we are better, but simply because if Coca-Cola is a sponsor and you're going to spend money, are you going to buy Pepsi-Cola? It doesn't make sense. We went to Mercedes-Benz because, as I've already indicated, at the time they were the SAFA sponsor. And they gave the best deal. At the back, I have a picture of those who were there in the handover ceremony. We were all there in 2010 and 2011. Here's the picture. That letter came from Zurich to be present in the handover. Jerome Wald was there. Ida Hayatu, who's the president of CAF, came all the way from Yaoundé and Cameroon to be present here. Now, the question is, that was 2010 and 2011. Why is it being totally disrupted in 2013? We are 3 years from the World Cup after 2010, but 3 months to the election. Now, in history, proximity is a major and very telling factor. 3 years versus 3 months. To me, that's the answer. Now, let me then deal with the question of accountability. I've given the members, first of all, page one, where FIFA says, disbursement of funds by the OC shall be made under the control of the financial platform under the same conditions as is applied from now. That is since 2005. So, the next letter is on the 20th of February because FIFA has received unqualified order for the entire duration of the World Cup. We have accounted for 3.2 billion rand, every single penny of that. We were voted best World Cup ever in the past 100-year history. We cannot discredit, besmirch, and rubbish our own legacy. This is the legacy of Nelson Mandela. This is the legacy of Thabo Mbeki. This is the legacy of President Islam, and this is the legacy of our President Jacob Zuma. It's a legacy. This is what the world is. And if people want to make accusations, they must say who's their name, because that is my problem. People phone me to say, who is saying so? I don't know. I came here, I hope Parliament will tell me. Give me the name. Because FIFA wrote the first letter. The LOC was set up under Organizing Association Agreement, an agreement that was executed by FIFA and SAFA. A governance structure was created with a board operated by Ernst & Young to support the LOC board of directors. By the way, six of the most senior ministers in government sat on this board, including the Deputy Minister of Finance. To support the LOC directors, implementation of appropriate policies and procedures to ensure full accountability and transparency of all financial transactions of the LOC. The financial statements of the LOC has been a subject of audit for each year of operation and have been submitted to and approved by the AGM of the LOC on each occasion with an unqualified audit. Furthermore, the overall results of the LOC was included in the finance report and approved by the FIFA Congress. For avoidance of doubt, FIFA has at no time been aware of anything other than full compliance with the governance structure of the LOC in respect of LOC financial transactions. Any concerns of governance processes of the 2010 FIFA World Cup should firstly be addressed by SAFA and then, if not resolved, escalated to FIFA as a party to the OAA, to the exclusion of other forums. Now, I think we must understand, Honorable Chair, if somebody says they've stolen your money, now you ask, who says they stole my money? We can't tell you. Now, you say, but I can account for every penny. Now you say, no, you must investigate. They say, but what? I'm telling you, I have two layers. I had Ernst & Young as a financial platform and the board as the auditor. And I personally signed off on all financial transactions. Who is that person or persons? No, you can't say. Then the matter went on, and again, FIFA wrote a second letter, this time on the 27th of February, again to the president of SAFA. We have noted that certain press articles in South Africa appear narrowly to interpret the content of the letter to you on the 20th of February and ignore the existence of LOC governance that was and still is in place. My comments with respect to the LOC financial statement have been subject to audit and being approved by the AGM of the LOC cover all years of operations, including those ended 30th of September 2011 and 2012. The LOC governance structure was set up on the incorporation of the LOC in 2005, and FIFA has been consulted on all matters concerning the remuneration of executive and non-executive, the LOC set up under, current, under this structure. FIFA has also been consulted in the respect of all grants made to SAFA by the LOC to current day. These matters have all been confirmed in compliance with the governance structures of the LOC. Now, again, I ask, who has a different view? We don't know. So you might understand the anxiety of officials. It is their money, and we are saying there's something wrong, but we can't tell them who. Now, again, here in this report, 2010 FIFA World Cup Country Report, this is a report where, again, on page 172, the organizing committee's operational expenses amounted to $560 million. It's here. While the overall cost exceeded the original budget, these were covered by higher revenue from ticket sales, resulting in anticipated profit of $10 million. Chair, let me tell you, the final profit was $100 million. Why? Because from the time that the final whistle blew to now, we, as the people who worked in that World Cup, delivered what we promised, 100 million profit. We delivered. When the intention was 10 million. Now, instead of giving praise to those who work 24 hours, and the company secretary is here behind me, Mansoor Harker, he knows. Because what happens after an event, even if you have under 15 tournament, the next day when the tournament is finished, you receive claims on Islam. They say, you broke this, you broke that. A project like the World Cup, once the World Cup is over, he can tell you the number of claims that we have from stadiums, from cities, from this car was broken, that car was bumped, my carpet was burnt. All of those claims. It's a nightmare to sift through. At that stage, we were facing a loss of 500 million rand. That's what we faced in September of 2010. We had to work through that because we wanted the legacy to be delivered to the people of this country and football. And when SAFA wanted to take the legacy, we said, no, this legacy money is going there. Secondly, if you see, FIFA wanted to split 60-40. In fact, it was an agreement. It was split, the profit 60-40. We said, no, you've made enough money. How can you come back and take 40% of that 100 million, which means 40 million must go to SAFA, in terms of FIFA, in terms of our agreement? FIFA said, fine, provided we agree it's going for development. And that's what we agreed. Now, this, again, yeah, you say, in other words, FIFA covered all the organizing committee's operational expenses. This is what government is saying. There is no government money here. This is what government is saying. So I hope that it is now clear, Chair, that I don't want to go on because there was an asset disposal strategy, which I got a copy and I give honorable members. And in that strategy, the board, the full board at that time, agreed that the beneficiary of any savings, any assets existed, must be SAFA. Why? Because the only football entity who is a member of SAFA or of FIFA is SAFA. Now they say, no, 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 they're diverting the money to SAFA. The money must go to SAFA. Who else must it go to? It must go to SAFA, because SAFA is a member of FIFA. By the way, SAFA came off worse out of this World Cup. I'll tell you why. We ran the first World Cup, but it cost us 160 million of SAFA's money, which we raised. And I was part of that process to raise 160 million. We lost that bid. We lost a second bid. It cost us 170 million. We raised it, SAFA's money. So SAFA put in 320 million to win the right to host. I have the letters here, which was raised with this committee, which was signed by Ron de Balfour, the Minister of Sport, because SAFA owned F&B Stadium. Stadium was half built, but SAFA owned that stadium. The stadium value was 508 million. When the government said, no, 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 we cannot put money into a stadium owned by a football organization. So, if you want us to finish the stadium, you must hand over the stadium to government for nothing. Here is the letter. Transfer of F&B Stadium of South African Football Association to Ndondo Bapo on behalf of the government. We have letters here that we have negotiated with the Department of Public Works up until Jeff Deutsch from Tokyo Visa, many ministers of public works. I have all the documents here. Even a meeting with the deputy president. We've lost 580 million. We got nothing. The second thing is, there, Dennis Mambo showed you, Chair, we are the only federation in this country whose national team must be on SABC free to air. In compliance with the demand of the sports committee,
that we can never have a position where Bafana Bafana pays on pay-per-view or satellite. If we can do that, we'll turn around South, because we'll jump from 27 million to 300 million. We said we won't want to do that. Don't want to do that. We're going to stay with the SABC. And so we asked the SABC, can we have the satellite rights shared with SuperSport? And that is the conversation that we have. But broadcast rights value based on two things. First, it must be live. Two, it must be exclusive. If you don't offer live and exclusive, you'll see the drop in your value. And SAFA is being lambasted for those issues. So what is the long and short of it? One, we lost 580 million of a stadium that we own. It's now owned by Johannesburg City. We are losing through broadcast revenue. Again, we agree with you that we have to show the masses free matches on the national public broadcasters. And for that, we get 471 million. Now, you look at that and put that, you know, and that's why in the financials, this 470 million is not even reflected there. It's not reflected. Now, how can you be bankrupt when you yourself take the decision we're going to reinvent this money and SAFA is not going to pay salaries, they're not going to do anything out of this money? And those are the decisions that we took. So, I'm saying, Chair, the report on the legacy is here in this report to Parliament. The report on the finance of the organizing is here. I have all of the financial statements from 2005. I have the audited financial statements of 2011 and 2012 here. We have accounted for every single penny. That's why FIFA says this was the best ever. And I don't know the name of the people for saying these things, but I think we're going to damage our reputation internationally. If we ever want an event with FIFA or the Olympics again, they will say, hey, stay away from that, South Africa. Because you cannot damage the World Cup without damaging the FIFA brand. And we must understand, when FIFA loses its patience and says, no, this is our money, the legacy money is ours, the money of the organizing committee is ours. If anyone has a problem, please let us know. Because you cannot insist our money is missing when we don't know. What happened? There was the question of Buffalo City. Buffalo City, the whole country knows, Buffalo City was not a World Cup city. It has nothing to do with the World Cup. But they put the legacy name there. They put FIFA's name there. And we know. Now people ask us, why? Why are we doing this? I don't know. That's why I say maybe. We may be 3 years from the World Cup, but 3 months to the election. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much.
They said, and that is their frustration. There is Jerome Park. That's the thing. He's coming every time. They're so committed to development in the country that FIFA pays for him to travel to this country to attend board meetings. And what does he get in return? Insults, nameless accusations, and all of these things. And that's why I'm saying that it is very simple in this country. If you know that somebody stole money, we have the police, we have the hawks, we have special investigation unit, we have the courts. Why don't you go there and lay the complaints? Why must you? This parliament must protect people whose names cannot be mentioned. I sat in this parliament in 94, 97. I had a short brief, 3 months. I was on the sports committee. We insisted as a sports committee, if you bring a document here and you are not prepared to put your name, take your document and go out, we cannot. We must be strong on governance and transparency. We must equally be strong by nameless, faceless people smearing other people. You're going to go to 2014 election. You must be strong in this thing. You must stop it in this country. People must get up. And we have police stations. You must go there and report it. And that's a simple matter. And I think I'm raising the matter.
It's strong. A decision.
Very careful.
Yeah. Anything that is faceless can be submitted to the committee. And it's still a position, General. It's one thing to meet with your friend outside somewhere, but nothing comes to the committee that is faceless. Everyone who got an issue to raise must be brave enough to say, this is an issue that I want to raise. Of course, there will always be whistleblowers sometimes, and they must deal with those things in terms of the police. And it's still a position anyway that no faceless person appeared before the committee, or no document that is faceless document that is presented to the committee. It would be very wrong. That can be absolutely damaging. It's still our position on that one. And of course, members would have this faceless thing in many corners of South Africa, surely. In their constituent offices, they go there, they find a document, a faceless document that is there. The members would read them and understand what are these problems. But as a committee general, no faceless document ever presented. Anything that is presented to the OBIT must have an ownership. And then for us to have a thorough discussion on that.
Thank you. Thank you for protecting our legacy in this parliament.
Well, we
are the founding fathers of the parliament.
And we are again, maybe we should be redeployed.
I understand what Dr. Jane is saying. But we've got this file, which we think it comes from SAFA. This file. And in this file, they touch a lot of things. Now, in this file, there's something that says SPF, Aluta Uzunua. You see? And there are names, your name is reflected in this file. So it comes from SAFA. So we don't see this as faces, we see it as coming from SAFA, the organization. Because I was given this file by the secretary, and supposedly the secretary gets it from SAFA's office. So then you must check what comes out of the office. You see? And you see that. Even this thing of Mexican Street is here. There are names of people and everything. So we need to read these things, and we need to raise with you guys so that you can give us clarity on these issues. If you are compiled by a faceless person, then that is just present in your office. This is not my office. And that's why I asked the question, how is the unity in this organization? And what is this FTF? I've not got answers to that. You see? So this will continue until you address the figurative.
Well, and I think we are legacy now. And the 2010 FIFA legacy fund. Let us pose question directly to that. Would that shift to what President Wakai is going to be addressing the whole team that he is talking about, but also the issue of how to link with sports in schools, but also the issue of match fixing. Mm-hmm. But I thought that you're saying the matter closed in terms of match fixing. But I think we won't mind to take with the committee into confidence and then to raise some of those issues. We have a general view. We have not been briefed by you also to say these are issues that have to. And then he's raising an issue. He doesn't though dispel the fact that no faceless person letter ever discussed by the committee. And then no faceless letter generally on this thing, because otherwise it can cause so much harm. Because a faceless person can count a letter to me, the chairperson of the committee is corrupted. It's just a faceless person, therefore it's a very dangerous thing to do. I think the point that we are raising as a committee, you don't accept anything without ownership. Every person who appears must own what is raised in the public. And I think that's the point that we are raising. But I think that the committee that you call is talking about, it seems a very powerful committee somewhere. And then I think that you are going to address this, you take us through. Yeah.
I think the same question is almost
key, and that is FIFA put money, and then no one can attempt to take it in a stand there without FIFA agree, because they're part of the board. And therefore, this money is meant only for development. And then, President, it assumes therefore that that money is meant for what we already started, under 15 and under 13 development in all local authorities area. And that's what this is meant for now. Okay. Let me invite you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. I must say this was a very important presentation because really our reputation and image of this country is really at stake. And we live in a global village. Whatever you say today, when we end up here, it's in the net and everywhere. And people are now saying, yes, in his absence. Yeah. And I was just doing an analysis today, as much as people are talking about the fact that there seem to be losses in this association has made big sacrifices. And we're still sitting with a very sore heart to lose our own facility. The only facility belonging to football. The honorable member mentioned the fact that we are on state land. That's actually the land where the facility, our stadium is, which we handed over because at the time, the only way government could have put money there was to ensure that that facility is under the municipality. And we want to pose this challenge to you, honorable chair and honorable members. We want our stadium back. It is a serious matter. If really you respect, it belongs to the people. Football is not ours. It belongs to this country. It's a national asset. If we are serious that football is a national asset, we want what belongs to us back, because it's a national asset. If you compare that 580 million then and now, and we're still told we don't have, we're not viable. We have over 470 million on trust. And somebody says, you're not viable. You have a facility that is, we had to put this up out there because we know it was our land. We went to the highest office. And we still have to go back to the deputy president of this. But we thought, you will assist us, Honorable Chair. We need to see your mother on this matter. And honorable members, because it belongs to football. We have traveled all over. You said, let us do comparative studies. Football's everywhere in the countries where they're doing that. They've got their own land and facilities. In this country, there's nothing. Except the house that is on state land, as someone has said, which is supposed to be our facility. And we thought we should bring that to your attention. And next time we meet, we hope you call us to say how far you've gone in that matter. It is in the interest of the nation. It is not our football. It's not that. It is your football. When we ask who is Safa, Safa is all of us sitting here. No one else. It is not in our private name. It is for your own inheritance of your own children. So if we could do that, we would have most of, we haven't even built other facilities in there for development. Our players stay in hotels. Those are costs for the association. We should be, the plan was to even have a hotel right there. But all those things went away. And at the end people think, but what is wrong with this association? We have great dreams, but help us to attain those dreams. And one of them is, we need our stadium back. The other issues, our interaction with school sports, the school sport, particularly on the football side, is an associate member. Vice President Madibogo is the president of school sports. Their house is Sava House. They do business right in there. They are an integral part of football development in the country. whatever they do, we do together and support them. They also get a grant from us, over and above the fact that they do source out sponsorship. It was an agreement that we said they must look at school-going age. However, we felt to fast-track issue of development, we should come in on the issue of under 13 and under 15 going forward. That's part of what Dr. Robinson Peterson will bring in. And he's going to tell you of world-class countries as to how they're doing. We are talking today, some countries are 100 years in advance. We have challenges on issues of club licensing that must change. No wonder why you only a few of the clubs succeed in this country. And if we unpack that, you will understand why Northern Cape will never have a club. Eastern Cape will come in and out. Northwest will have to buy status from Limpopo. And others will ultimately not have anything. But there are reasons why those things are happening. And those are the things that need to be changed if we need to move forward. But I will leave the issue of development, we will unpack what is happening in the country. But the assignment you said, Honorable Chair, we need our land back and our stadium. Thank you.
I wonder whether my question was, the chairperson helped me, wanted to sort of make a follow-up on what Dr. Chortan was saying, especially on the legacy trust, because there's a figure which he talked about. And I wanted to have the specific, because it is our time today to get specific, so that we know how we access that legacy fund. How do people apply? As much as we have the association saying they've got a program, can we share the program so that we see that we don't just want to see the 400 and something million in the board of in the trust, but how is it distributed? How can somebody access to it? Because we can't just have money, glorify the money, and we don't know exactly how do we use it to the benefit of South Africa, and then we can put it as a legacy. I think he has actually also highlighted something on Buffalo City, and in my quest, I thought us as a committee would visit areas which we think they are legacy projects, whereas are not actually the FIFA World Cup legacy. So we need also some in-depth information on it, so that especially on that one. We find ourselves asking questions even to the department to say, how is that facility not maintained? And the response is, it's just in a way ridiculous, as if we don't know our work, because it's not only the department that needs to maintain that, it should be the district. The district also, when it actually responds, the response, it's as if you cannot question them. So we need that information, Chairperson, also on how that money is utilized, so that we can also maybe, from when they give us exactly what are they using it for, we can maybe request that it can be channeled also to maintain some of the facilities which we found as, facilities that cannot actually be, we cannot be proud of, especially Buffalo City mentioned that. Thank you, Shane.
Thank you very much.
Robin is going to be briefing us around development, and then we can get every other point. It's important point that we are raising, Dr. Zidane. The question of uneven development in our country. And hopefully we, not as first in the last meeting, I think we are clearing a few months that have to discuss. Because unless we are addressed again, it's going to remain at peace for many years. And I think we need time and space to come to a discussion. I'm mindful today that there's holiday tomorrow. And members of the proper delegation, they may need to be at the airport sometimes soon. And then we should have time there to discuss the about development in detail in such a way that members, wherever they are in their constituency, are able to locate these structures of development in their own constituency. Because without them doing that, they wouldn't know really. If people go to them, they wouldn't know where the structure of development. But I think the high level, you just take us through Robin, what are the issues in the high level, would then Reverend Shorter to move. Dennis?
Listen, if I just very, very briefly, in the presentation, those procedures are there, the methodology for how to access the funds is in the presentation, which we will leave behind. In fact, it's on the version that was distributed that outlines how to get and how to make application to the Legacy Trust. We also have Mr. Greg Frederick here, who is the general manager of the Legacy Trust. And if anyone wants to contact him, there's a way to contact. There's information on how to contact the Legacy Trust. And so as we continue to engage with the committee, we'll provide, and we'll make sure that you also get any additional information that you may require.
Thank you, Chair. I was very privileged that...
Precisely the questions you're asking, because our current reality is, as the Bureau says,
you know, there are more condolences than congratulations to the coach. And it seems like it's a quest that's impossible to achieve because of our current status. So what we've done is we first of all built a plan, and I presented that plan to this committee last year. But we've now moved beyond the plan. We then realized that the implementation of this plan has two bigger constraints. Number one is focus, and number two is finances. Because when we sat down and costed what this plan will cost us to do everything that we need to do, it's anywhere between 250 and 300 million rand a year. Our current budget, as you've seen, of 300 million rand a year. So we need to find additional funding sources through creative ways to raise almost additional to our existing budgets in order to fund the kind of development that we believe we need to do. And the second thing is focus. When I started going around to ask people to fund us, business people, I was confronted by one who said to me, who's going to drive this program? And I said, well, fine, you know, I'm going to, and they said, no. You have been the one who has helped this program with all your colleagues come through. Someone like you needs to drive this, or you should drive this. And so in consultation with the president and with the board and with the NEC, we took a decision at the end of last year to say that we need to set up a separate structure called the SAFA Development Agency as a trust, ring fence, so that corporates can give their money specifically for this role, and that I would then relinquish my position as CEO of SAFA and move over so that I can have a focus and the energy to make sure that this plan gets implemented. And that we've done. And I think that's a very significant structural step in indicating our commitment to the implementation of this plan. Just to go very briefly through, I went through these in more detail last year, but here are the seven things we said we needed to do. And you were asking us about where we are in the world. The President and I were recently funded to go and look at football development in Italy. And I must say, I haven't had a chance yet because we only got back last week to really sit down with the President to debrief. My own assessment was, we have such a long way to go. We are so far behind what countries with a legacy and a history and the traditions of international global football have that it is quite scary. It's daunting. And we are arrogant if we believe as a nation that we deserve to be in the top 20 or the top 10 in the world. President and I went to Coverciano. Coverciano is 55 years old. It is owned by the Italian Football Association. It is the land that they have and the facilities that they have where all national teams do their camping and their preparations. It's got 8 fields, 2 artificial pitches. It's got a hotel. Every single coach who has been trained, all of these ones that we read and see about and the Italian coaches around the world have come through Coverciano. That's been going for 53 years. They have sports scientists, they have nutritionists, they have psychologists employed and they're at the association in Coverciano. The English FA have just built St. George's Park. It is a facility that makes Coverciano look old and decrepit for their national team and for their football development. We have a long, long way to go. However, the one thing that we came out with incredibly encouraged by was when we shared with all of the people we interfaced with our plan, every one of them said, if you can implement this plan, you will achieve your goals. And so we left feeling that at least we're on the right track and we've started. So very quickly, what I plan to do, Chair, is to go through these seven things and just give a very, very short update as to where we are. The first one we said was to develop and entrench the uniform South African national football philosophy. How do we want to play? What structure? What style? And then we must make sure that gets cascaded down through all our national teams and then down to our age groups and our coaching. That philosophy document is almost complete. It has to go before the technical committee for final approval, but that work has been done. The bulk of that work has been done, and that will then be published in a document that will become a bible of how we want to play football in our national teams and in the way that we coach and train young people from the beginning. The kind of talent that we look for, how we develop it, etc., etc. So number one is very well advanced. Number two is to build a rich and robust talent identification and development pipeline that starts at under 13 at a local football association level. We just received the funding from the World Cup Legacy Fund to enable us to start this program. We are doing that by setting up leagues, because leagues are where you play consistently at under 13, under 15 level for boys and girls in all 311 local football associations. At the end of this year, through that process, we will identify the best players in each local football association who will play in a regional tournament. At the regional tournament, we will identify the best players in the region. 52 regions times 20 players gives us a base of 1,040 under 13 boys, under 15 boys, under 13 girls, under 15 girls. That will become the base of our talent pyramid that we will then be developing for the next 10 years. If our goal is 2022 World Cup in Qatar, the bulk of that team will be made up of people, children now, who are the age between 10 and 14. Think about that. The 10 and 14 year olds today are going to be the bulk of our team in 2014. They'll be ages 20 to 24, where the bulk of your team should come from. So we said this year must be our starting point. Identify those 1,000. We're reaching agreements with all of the sports science institutes and universities that all 1,040 of those will be tested. We're developing protocols through our collaboration with Italy and others so that we get the right protocols for testing, and we will then be tracking them, the point that you're making, sir. Through our IT system that we're rolling up through the country, we will track all 1,000 of those and test them every year to make sure that we're developing them properly. There will also be provincial teams chosen, which will give us a further elite pool of 180. And those 180 will then form the basis of advanced high performance developments, so that we know that we have a talent pool of each age group each year coming into the system of at least 180 to 200 people, boys and girls, that we can say, here is the cream of our talent pool. And it's competitive. If they don't shape up, there are 800 sitting below them who are wanting to come in. So that's number two. We've made the first step in that, and we're really excited about that process. Number three is about building a comprehensive national competitions framework. This setting up the under 13, under 15 leagues is part of that. What we have to ensure is that in our local football associations and in our regions, we are playing strength versus strength, that we've got proper competitions, leagues that are functioning, proper competition structures that are functioning at local football association level throughout the country, so that our clubs are playing, that they'll be licensed, that they've been developed, and that they are growing, and that football at that base is growing. Number four is probably the most critical thing we have to do. We have a very scary statistic. We have 3 million, we believe, players, registered players. We don't know because we haven't yet got them on a consolidated database. But the researchers from BMI tell us we have 3 million participants. We have trained and licensed 10,000, 9,000 coaches since 1997. That ratio is 1 to 150. In Spain, the ratio is 1 to 16. In Italy, it's 1 to 20. What that means is we have to train and license 15,000 coaches a year for the next 10 years. 15,000 for the next 10 years. We've worked out the plan of how we're going to do that. It will involve having in every local football association a coach educator who will run an introductory course at that level. A lot of them will be teachers that will be training. That's your answer, integration with school sports. So we've worked out the plan, but it's a costly exercise. We're busy now identifying coach educators that we will train and be able to deploy to run these coaching courses throughout the country. We're interfacing with the CITES because our coach qualifications are recognized on the AQF, and we will be able to access CITES funding for that process, which is exceptionally helpful. Number five is about football infrastructure administration. You've seen some of the artificial pitches that the Infrastructure Development Trust with funding from the Lotto has been able to build 27. We need to have at least 52 of them. But we need much more than that. We need to ensure that every local football association in its relationship with its local municipality has got sufficient football facilities for football to be played. At the moment, we get shut out by shared facilities. We don't own facilities, by and large. And it's an extremely difficult challenge if we want to grow football. We have to have that. we also want to have in place an administrator in every local football association, in every region. We have them in every region, but we want to have a coach educator and an administrator and an IT person in every local football association so that we are able to make sure that administration at the base takes place and is good and is efficient and effective. Number six, technology. There are a number of levels. We've signed an agreement with an international MISCO who do football analysis around the world. So our national teams now have the advantage of world-class technology to analyze their matches, how they're performing, to analyze the opposition, how they're performing. That's our first step in the technology. The second is the rollout of the central IT system and database, which will... We started with that process. We hope this week to finalize who our partner, technology partner, will be in that, and that will enable us to register all 3 million players, 20,000 clubs, 311 LFAs, every coach, every administrator, in one system, in one database. That will also help us significantly deal with the issues of age cheating that sometimes bedevil football. Number seven, utilize the best research and most up-to-date practice of sports science. Through our engagements with the universities, with the Sports Science Institute, with the High Performance Center, and through our international engagements, we are accessing world-class technology and research to ensure that at least at our national team level, and then filtering down through our talent pipeline, we are able to put in use the best and most up-to-date research. The one element I've missed and I want to address. Core to our development plan is the creation of 9 provincial academies, SAFA academies. We want to do that in collaboration with the Departments of Sport and Recreation, the Departments of Education, and if we can get 9 provincial academies in place, even by the end of this year, by identifying existing schools that we can utilize, and where we can place those 20 players that we identified, 40 because they're boys and girls, into those structures in provinces, we will succeed. I have absolutely no doubt, and I think we will get there sooner than 2022. Chair, I think the rest of it I'm not going to go through because it is all there. It shows how we align with the National Sports Plan. We've also had a recent verbal endorsement in terms of the National Development Plan to say that these things align. What we're doing aligns with those overall policy frameworks of both national governments and of the Department of Sport and Recreation. Chair, we are very, very excited about this process. We are committed to ensuring it happens. I'm trying to raise the $300 million, of which $100 million we're targeting from corporates with CSI funding, so we're not selling sponsorships. We're targeting corporate social investment, corporate social responsibility funding, and there's a lot of interest in that. We're targeting $100 million through skills fund and teachers for our people and our training and the work that we have to do, our coaches. And 100 million rand in development funding. We've already, 30 million of that has come through the Legacy Trust to start up these leagues and to fund women's football. There is money we're going to be approaching national, provincial and local government for. There's also funding to make up the other 100 million. We think the target's achievable, but it does require that we all embrace it and understand that this is a national project. Bobby Godsell, and I'll conclude with this, who is the chairperson of the Business Leadership South Africa, which is the grouping of the 85 biggest companies in this country, has decided and agreed to become a patron of this project. He's never been involved in football before, but he's a businessman who is a chair of that committee. And the reason he did it was he said, Robin, this is not just about football. This is more than football. And his word was this. This is the largest and most likely to succeed youth mobilization and development project that this country has. And I think he is spot on. This is more than football. This is about changing football and changing the nation. SAFA is committed to it. The development agency and I am personally committed to it. And hopefully we will have the whole nation committed to making sure that it succeeds. Thank you, Derek.
I know that Cora is committed to it also. And members, I think, will be really committed to this. It's a very important program. And hopeful, of course, be sustainable over years. It's not something we launch, and it takes you another 10 years to make it work. And because there are a lot of projects that we launch, generally, the nice publicity, they simply disappear. And I think this one, there's no intention president. That is just launching for the media coverage after the 92 million rand problem.
and then therefore after that the whole thing simply disappears, I think will cause a lot of problems. I think it would be very important. It's a very big organization, that one. And then after thank you, Robin, then we will invite you again just to have a discussion present on the issue that we have raised. I think after the budget debate, we must sit down again and discuss it in details, in my view, almost local authority by local authority. Just to have a clear picture what are the challenges of the sport in our country. Then before we close, though, we are going to have the Twitter president, the transformation team somewhere, and then and also the next 16 one. I think we'll take us in confidence on those two issues, and then after that they will allow members to ask questions and Cora, I think that's what we should do. Development, I think they're taking it, we invite them again to come back to us, have a discussion, have a discussion about development. Because members are deployed in very many constituencies. It would be very good for them when they approach this thing and they're able to show them that these are issues, this are happening. They're able to refer people who want to participate fully in this development. And I think it's a critical point that we do call.
Yeah. Just a small one. I think Mercy Dani asked the question. How do you access this man? For instance, in Philippines. There's an under 30 team there. And they sent me a note that they've applied for funds. And they've not had a response from SAFA. So I don't know whether it's going to. What's the province of SAFA National? But how do you normally, when they were like these teams are?
Thank you. I know Comrade Cora is referring to the legacy funds. There is an application process. Not everybody qualifies. We had over 4,400 applications, as you know, everywhere. They might not have been very lucky, but already they are lucky because there's now an under 13 league. They'll just move in there, and they are covered. They will get their outfit, I think, out of that. So they are within our structures. They will be covered. And, of course, the presentation does have all the information as to how they should go about the application. But it suffices just to confirm that we are very serious with this problem. There are 52 coordinators, as we're talking now, who are undergoing a course of 3 days to ensure that this program is coordinated effectively. That is happening as we're talking currently. It means we're serious about that. I believe you want us to move off this one and move on to match.
Just remember, I wouldn't allow you to leave by one, because that are making it difficult for us. And then as long as you mind that you shouldn't be here forever, they will come back again and take us through some of the issues.
Chair, can I take on the legacy fund again? Yes. I just want clarity, Chair, whether the legacy fund is only used for the purpose of development. No other purchases other than development.
Thank you very much. I think I thought we're running through the slide and, of course, the information. But we have the managing or general manager of the Legacy Trust on our behalf. And, of course, there's a trust deed that contains all the requirements. I think it's available on the website. Where members can, read thoroughly. But the focus is it must make an impact on football development in particular. We were afraid someone would say, I want to build a house and apply. It wouldn't be good for that. We were very strict. We need to make a difference. And this country must never be the same post-World Cup. That is the idea. But Dr. Jordan is the chair, and of course, the general manager can talk more about it. The website is there and the purpose is very clear. And we jealously added that to make impact. Otherwise, we will all go and nothing would have happened like the chair was said. And we were very specific on that. As we run off, we're going to call upon Mr. Pupi Govindasamy, who is the chair of our Legal and Personal Committee to deal with this matter of match fixing, which we are saying at this point in time, we believe everything is as agreed
and we just expect the rollout of the process. Honorable Mr. Gundersen.
Thank you, Chairperson, for the privilege, maybe very the privilege, but Chairperson, I wanted always to find out from SAFA why are we failing when it comes to the national game, where we fail, we cannot actually, I have seen you have put nice targets there, especially number 5, where we talk of coaches. We have a full range of, you know, the matches played by different teams, but when it comes to a national team, we are failing. I wanted to find out, is it, especially talked of the 10,000 coaches that we have so far. So what is it that we fail as a country where we have 10,000 of coaches that can take us through? I know we couldn't actually secure the World Cup, but I was hoping that in AFCON we are going to get it. But I was again disappointed. And sometimes when the national team plays, I don't want to see because I know we are going to lose. Where lies the problem? Is it the coaches? And how do you actually sustain your coaches? Is it the treatment that we give to, or the pressure that we give to our coaches? What is it? I just also need to get, you know, maybe direct a person from SAFA.
No, I think SAFA will touch on those matters. Let's go direct to next week. And President, as you wrap up, and the new President will cover some of the issues that you are raising. And then...
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and honourable members of the committee. I must say it's my privilege to be here in this to fix a problem. A little background and why I've been privileged to be here with my colleagues. In 1994, I visited Reunion, which is the island of our coast here, particularly the city of Saint-Denis. And I headed the head of, I was the head of delegation on behalf of SAFA, representing a lot of pirates in the tournament, which was subsequently won in the African Championship. And I addressed their mini parliaments like a provincial government, which is Saint Denis. Not having had that privilege in our society because of apartheid. So this is my second occasion to talk, given that right. And really it's a privilege. So let me just say this, that I think this story has been in the press for some time since the FIFA report was announced. The whole executive committee of SAFA has never been still. We've been trying to get to the bottom of this issue. I must say that in keeping with our vision and mission statement, SAFA is anti-corruption, it's anti-fraud, it's anti-theft. And I say this just as part of the Legal and Constitutional Committee, coming from the background that Norman Arunsa and I come from, and Chief and Panyana. Anti-unethical behavior. We want to promote high moral standards for football and for the rest of our community. So having said that, we as SAFA took a decision, a unanimous decision, to request our government to assist us get to the meat of the problem and the truth, not just the allegation, the truth, about this issue surrounding the match fixing story. This is not a new scandal, it's an old scandal. It started in Liverpool and Manchester United some years ago. And of course it's permeated throughout the world, and of course it's come to our shores. But we've had Operation Dribble in the past. We had the Phil Sedeti issue, who's received a jail sentence. We reported those issues, so it's not a new issue. So we say, to do as our esteemed committee, we urge government to set up this independent judicial commission of inquiry as a matter of urgency. It should have happened yesterday. We want to get to the root of the problem. We have also, by way of agreement, sought FIFA's assistance to say, assist us, urge all role players get to the bottom of the thing. So we are respecting what is called the sanctity of a contract, the sanctity of an agreement, and we're urging government now to assist us set up as Judicial Commission Inquiry. We are hoping that when that report is made available to our President, President Zuma, at the end of the day, if there are any casualties on the way, if it's myself, so be it. Those people who are innocent, let them be so. So we can get on with the football business. So having said those, well, mentioned what we want to try and achieve, and with those two words, we want to say, Mr. Chair, if you can urge your committee to urge government to assist us set up this independent judicial committee inquiry as of yesterday, we will gladly appreciate it. And I'm sure in public interest, in the interest of government and all our stakeholders, once this issue is resolved, it will be better for us. Thank you.
Okay. No, I don't think there is a big idea.
We are just waiting for independent to investigate this matter, make a recommendation, then after that time we take, and then they deal with this matter. No one is resisting that generously. And then that's fine. Then I'm not sure what we can discuss through this bill.
Chairperson, let me put a question to say, if we allow the independent commission of inquiry, are we not going to be tampering with the FIFA's corners or whatever? Because somewhere, one, I think that it might be FIFA of South Africa might be seen to take FIFA's work. So are we not actually tampering with whatever laws or regulations?
Yeah, very good question. We all know recently the Minister of Sport, together with our President, visited Zurich, and I'm sure there's a slide there capturing the agreement. FIFA has actually said it will assist in this process, but because we don't have the means in terms of financial means, government should come to our assistance and assist us, and FIFA has given the blessing in that regard. So there is a tripartite agreement between our Minister of Sport, Mr. Mbulula, on behalf of government, our president, and FIFA, to say, please attend to this matter. And a judicial commission inquiry, independent, would be most welcome.
I heard Dr. Sudan, you know, lamenting that the image or the integrity and legacy of the World Cup should not be tarnished. And I just wanted to draw his attention to this book by the Institute for Security Studies, which was launched in 2010 and landed on my desk yesterday. I would suggest maybe he had a good, you know, a read of this, because it questions a lot of the things. So you said you want Parliament to give you direction, some of these things are coming from. Maybe this is where I would suggest that maybe you get a copy of this book.
That's what we need. Young men must read. They must read.
The player and the referee, conflicting interests at the 2010 FIFA World Cup. The author is edited by Colette Hendelberg. And, but I'll, after the meeting, I'll just give you. So the Parliament is providing the necessary answers.
Okay. Now, let us proceed the same as the other. We'll try to do that. And hopefully, of course, we'll also organize the undertaking somewhere in KZN, in the Bundesland. And then choose, this is your neighbor. And then, as I thought that he does the quorum agreed in Poland. And a very vibrant organization. No, I think we should pass it on this one. I'm not sure, Cora, you want to make follow-up on this time.
No, I just want to make a comment.
You see, I don't think this thing was properly handled. Because the way how you handled it, it was a rush thing. To suspend people for 4 days, the fifth day you reinstate them. I mean, the whole world is looking at you. How can the president such a rash decision? So we must try to get our house in order. Don't rush things. Sit down and get sober, take a sober decision. Because really, the thing was really, really bad.
I just wanted to make that comment.
One leadership, I think they've taken care of them all. Okay, now let's proceed and deal with the one. The committee is for, you are calling a committee of what? Transformation committee? President, any issue on that one?
Thank you very much. Comrade Kora, you indicated we have given you documents. We have given you a faceless name with no name document that was submitted to us, just to ensure that you are kept on board in terms of what is going around. That document was distributed everywhere. It does not have an author, but we thought we're coming here, you're part of this country, you need to be privileged to see what is going on. Because other people are using the faceless document to begin to say, we must investigate this organization, which has made this presentation today and stated the record clear. And we believe when we leave here, the integrity and, of course, image of this organization will be restored by what you are going to say going forward. You asked, what is this FDF? FDF is a philosophy that was derived by a group of people who felt we need to transform how football should move going forward in this country. It was a philosophy that came in as a way of reorganizing ourselves and putting a team of people with common mind to want to change how the ball should go forward. That is just a strategy of putting out a team when you go to elections. Like any other situation, when you go to elections, you go and have your own party set up. It is not a member of SAFA. No, it is not an organization that is registered anywhere. It is a way of talking as football transformation forum, a forum of colleagues who are saying, how do we bring change in a situation? That's how it came about.
Is this group of people in SAFA, is this thing discussed by SAFA, and everybody agreed on this thing? Because the way how this thing, this faceless document is putting it, is that it is if there are some people in SAFA who are against this thing, does this thing have the basis of SAFA, the whole authority? Thanks.
Thank you very much, Comrade Kora. Why don't you start by saying, in every situation, we're talking here, we're sitting in this beautiful hall, and I know there are various parties. Obviously, various parties have different manifestos that they came about, and they may not agree on certain things. And I think I should acknowledge that we agree when we talk about SAFA business, but we may not agree when we talk about FTF business. And FTF does not feature as an agenda item of SAFA. When we're at SAFA, we talk about SAFA business. If you go through our minutes, you will see we're talking about SAFA business and nothing else. And like I said, it was just a philosophy of saying, how do we bring change when we are realizing that we're not going anywhere? This honorable member was concerned, why are we not succeeding as South Africans? And we said, we need to come up with a mechanism that will make sure that we go somewhere, come up with plans that will ensure that football goes somewhere. That was basically the philosophy that was out there. Nothing else. Surely, we don't discuss issues of FTF and SAFA, and neither will you have any minutes that talks about FTF and SAFA.
I think the
point of President, who is eligible to be a member of your, don't forget that SAFA is an organization. Anything within SAFA must have a place in terms of the institution and then also in terms of your accountability. And but who is really eligible to be a member? Can I just apply to be a member of the transformation team? Or is it selected few who sit in this team? And because we do have an organization, is being correct. And everything that we can set up, of course, always organizations set up subcommittees to a certain specific way. Is that a subcommittee of SAFA? Or is just
friends who comes together to say, where are we in terms of transformation of sport? And then, but because no linkage, formal linkage with SAFA. Just group of friends who come in and say, no, we are supporting Arsenal, let us sit down and see how Arsenal advances. Well, what are the issues really there? Because the main issue is raised as if individuals simply decided to set up almost a parallel structure within the organization. And therefore, that will have a lot of problems for other people who are also members of the organization.
Thank you, Chair. I must confirm, sitting here as the president of the association together with the members of the association, this is not a structure that is affiliated to SAFA. And there are no application forms that you could post to become a member. It's just to say, I think I agree with how you do things. And I think that will take us somewhere. That was basically that. If you think back, we wanted groups like A-Team and B-Team. You know, it's just a way of saying, I think I like what they are doing, and that will take football somewhere else. Unfortunately, the whole issue was blown out of proportion a certain quarter, which is so unfortunate. And I must clearly say, it's a way of thinking, a philosophy of wanting to do things differently for change, to change things for better. Thank you.
Oh, okay. No, that's fine, President. Then. I hope that we wouldn't want to engage on it more than what we have explained. It's just a difficult thing because it's not that President, the leadership must always avoid anything that causes instability organization. If we are a group of friends, we meet there, but we are causing resentment to other members of the organization, and then it's not even a subcommittee of the organization, it's always advisable for that you shouldn't be encouraged something that causes resentment. Because it doesn't have value to your side. You see, philosophy already, you've got a structure that is dealing with philosophy or sport generally in South Africa. And then you have another structure that works there. Because if I'm not a part of that structure, I don't like it, the likelihood to talk bad about it is very high. And then it starts causing resentment and they cause it. I don't think it's, of course, it's not your structure. You try to see how you persuade it not to really be part. But this faithless thing will continue for us. And then they pick up, they cause resentment. I think they can cause problems for you as an organization. I don't think leadership anyway should always avoid things that cause resentment in organization, because those who don't sometimes like organization can use it for organization. This is present thing anyway. You want to manipulate this and that. I'm not saying that's what you want to do. And then can cause problems, you know, in a situation like that. It's always advisable that leadership must not really encourage anything outside format, such as the organization, because it can cause unnecessary problems. But we are very thankful that you have explained it. Of course, we'll engage with it as we move on ourselves, you know, how this thing works and what advice we members can also share with you on some of these things. And then otherwise, we may end up having factions. And then a group of people meet there that are like-minded, surely. If I don't like that one, I have to set up mine also. I counter that one. You may have real problems for organization. It's not always advisable to do it that way because it's not necessary for me. South Africans, very generally, are very suspicious people. Anything that they don't see well, they are very suspicious because they suffered for many years. Anything that they don't know. They are very suspicious, you know, this one is an agenda for this. It can cause unnecessary problems. Even something that was with a word meaning, but it may end up destroying organization. I think SAFA is too important, it's too big. You should be able to address them correctly. And we hope that we are fine. We can give advice from time to time, given your own experience. Yeah. Given your own experience. Yeah. And no, President, we are about to conclude. We want to invite you, of course, to give your concluding remarks, though. And just a thought. Concluding the mask. We then conclude the meeting and hopefully we'll find the site to cover. Cape Town is very beautiful though. I think we can remain in Cape Town for next 2 months. There'll be no harm. And hopefully then the club in Eastern Cape, they will rise after the developmental plan. The Western Cape also, I think they will rise after the development plan. They're not
at the Cape also. So the people in Kimba, they will want to see a local in Kimba. And hopefully I think they are going to address it as you move on. But we agree, the director, obviously, we'll have another discussion around development, a very detailed one around development. I think it will take us far to address some of the issues. And then before President, I give you to conclude. Cora.
Yeah, I must ask Bethan this workshop, whether the stuff that I took, I want to back. Can I be allowed to go?
No.
I'll give you a report when we sit behind. You'll get a report, definitely.
If you allow me to go, definitely.
No, we had a very successful meeting, and fruitful meeting with Papa.
No. I just said, I must come and sit with Because people are phoning me, people are phoning me.
President, I think I'll conclude in remarks.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, my colleagues. And we need to thank you for this great opportunity to really restore the integrity of our people. Members were feeling very despondent about this unfortunate situation that we're occurring everywhere. And we're living here confirming that SASA is not in crisis. And that whatever development that occurred in the past few weeks on the media was certainly very unfortunate. And we living here understanding that we are now sailing from the same page. We'll move forward with energy, and indeed football is in safe hands. And we want to appreciate your patience, Honorable Chair, to really listen to our side. And really, it is, has been a privilege and honor for us again to come in here. We know out there the expectation is there's been firework in Parliament to be waiting to hear what's going to happen. And we now rely on you to really give this positive image in terms of what transpired. We always don't ask for favors. We say it as it as is, because the truth is the only thing that will survive the test of time. And we want to thank honorable members. We know it was not easy for you to follow certain things, and your patience to ask total something. You have the interest of this country at heart, and you have inspired us to go back and work harder and do better, and we have no doubt that we will make a difference in this country. And thank you for understanding and helping us go through this at all. Thank you.
For coming, colleagues, and I think they'll be there here. Surely they'll cover the way they will cover. But in our view, the meeting was very fruitful. We have assisted us to understand the challenges that we are facing, and also some issues that you would want to take forward and deal with that. We can only wish you good luck in the turnaround issues and the drive transformation and development of sport. And we'll have discussion then on the development plan and see what is it that we can do, all of us really doing that. And then now I think the very clear members now, I think even Member Rabita, they really are going to call you. As they call you, I think now we are clear what is the whole issue really about this. It was worrying us all, and because SAFA is very important, it's a very big organization that can assist us to bring to these young persons. Because you know, in our country, we always talk about the current form of unemployment among the young people. If you organize ourselves very well at the football level, both female and male, we think that we'll be able then to address some of the challenges that we're facing. I think we must continue doing that. And continue providing leadership as collective, as you were saying. And hopefully we'll meet with you, and again, when we're inviting you, we'll come in and have a discussion. And thank you, Dr. Jordan, for the legacy, FIFA legacy. I think we've explained some of the issues. And then, because unless you have information, the uninformed member of parliament is a dangerous member of parliament. Generally, every member of parliament must be highly informed. Because if you're not informed, it's easy to read what the media says. And if it becomes a hotbed, generally.
But once we meet this way, it's very easy not to understand exactly the angle, the challenges. And then we are very thankful that you came and good luck with development, and hopefully we'll turn around the finances and the state. We'll commit ourselves to persuade the people to allow the state back to suffer. And we'll continue with that aspect of persuading. But of course, assisting you to do that, we think that is very important. And I think development of what I think is very important for all of us. Let us work on it. From time to time, and I should tell that you shouldn't wait for us to invite you. And then I think it's important sometimes to say that there's this issue that is worrying me. Can I come and give a comment? He says, don't just wait on a list of invitees. You know that we must take these initiatives. It assists us a lot to start addressing things before they just get out of control and then in the rumor and then in the problems. And then we wish you luck, President. Thank you for coming. Take care of sport.
Thank you very much. And then then I think what we should do, but also the commitment really was that we should take the constituency with that's the commitment that we want. And the community, I think that's what we should do, because we don't have enough time in the election yet, a lot of work that we have to do. We think that the constituency week at least, constituency is part of our work anyway, truly speaking. Constituency week is part of parliamentary week, generally, like, there's no doubt about that. That's what we wanted members to commit to themselves on. Otherwise, we'll never have time until 2014, those who are coming back. And then we think that we should do that after we have met these colleagues. We can also be brief about some of their problems and see what we want to do. Abu Dhabi, Meli Shiva, and Metzake. That's what we really wanted us to raise with you. And then in the next format meeting, then we'll have our minutes and talk them. We think it's well, 1 week. 2.5 days in this day, another 2.5 days in my area, Abu Dhabi. Not Terare, what is this one that won a what? Terare, yeah, so you, very pompous there. Elegantly putting boys, one. We just forget the days, we never contested it. And, but that's what you want the commission on. I think with Abu Dhabi, we agree with that. Nashiva, you are happy. That will be there. The last one will be in Verbetis with my bishop. We want you to slaughter a nice goat when we come to the Bembe district. And then, No. Thank you very much, sir.